If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.
The Alex Jones Network. Tomorrow's news, today.
Tuesday, August 4th, 2026. I'm your host, Alex Jones, on the road back in Austin today. We have the great Harrison Smith riding shotgun with us. And obviously, we have a lot of big developments here with the expanding New World War that we are in and the complete dead end that Trump has led us into and all the big developments there. But I personally am not going to spend more than 30 minutes on this because we have a lot of other big issues to deal with, but everything is connected to it. Nick Shirley, who I've been interviewing off and on since he exploded on scene 3 years ago, is incredible. He went over to North Africa, to the Spanish territories being attacked by the Muslims, and literally got chased by men with butcher knives screaming, "Allah Akbar, we're going to kill you," in Arabic, and narrowly escaped his life. They got pummeled with rocks, all because they were white. And that's how this works. And hundreds have been killed. We've shown you videos. Just if you're light complected, they just run up with a knife with precision and hit your carotid artery with it. And one death blow, and then nothing's done. So this is what they've been brainwashed to be like. Of course, Morocco means the land of the Moor, and it's the Moors that conquered Spain for almost 700 years. It took 400 years to kick them out, and this is just the reality. And I raise the point of Spanish being, on average, dark. Because until the Moors took them over, it's just an example of it. The Moors were described and in tapestries that the French and others did, basically looked like Nick Shirley. So that just gives you an example. They see somebody who looks like their ancient thousand-year enemy, a white man, and it's time to kill. All right? It's time to. And Nick needs to be a lot more careful. He has one security guy. And this is just an example of where we are, that our very best people, when Nick was in town a month ago or so, I talked to him privately, and I got to talk about some on air, that he has like three crew members. One of them is his mother, and then one security guy. And he was telling me how much money he brings in. It's basically nothing. And then here's a guy wrecking the enemy, reaching hundreds of millions of people a month. And we all just treat him like he's a nobody. Just, well, okay, that kid's good. You know, he's, then a bunch of people get, you know, are jealous of him and go, he's a Fed or something. That's how he does all this. No, if I went to Spain, it'd be all over the news. They try to kill me. And it would be totally viral. And if you went and did that, it'd be viral. Just people aren't doing what Nick Shirley does. And quite frankly, I'm not afraid to die, but I can do more. I go, you know, out and do some things in public, but I quite frankly, do calculated risk. I don't do what Nick Shirley does. He goes to Cuba and gets the communist faces. He goes and gets the anti-communist faces. I mean, politely, he goes and shows the fraud. I didn't mean to start the show with that. It's just, I'm going to get to it later. It's just so crazy that we've got examples like this young man, and quite frankly, everybody takes you for granted, and I'll say that about what we do here. I'm not bitching at most of you. Most of you understand it, but this is a very special broadcast. People should not take what we do for granted because we've been so effective. We'll be right back. Stay with us.
planet Earth. Filter your water. Stop turning my frog friends gay. This I command.
The Alex Jones Store.com. Fight the globalist takeover now.
A scarlet martini before breakfast? You minx. Are you trying to outdo me in corruption? Or shall we make it a team effort?
Of course not, darling. This is Methylene Red from the AlexJonesStore.com.
The Ultra Methylene Red, madame. Bold, refined, and unapologetically potent. It optimizes cellular energy at the deepest level, delivers razor-sharp cognition, and ignites a warm, invigorating rush that spreads through every vein.
From the front lines of the information war, it's Alex Jones.
Tuesday Live, for the 55th time, at least President Trump has said that Iran has one last chance at negotiations despite U.S. running out of munitions. And, you know, I love Juanita Broderick, Bill Clinton rape survivor, you know, great lady. I'm not putting her down. I just wanted to start the show with this example. You know, she posted this. It shows the USA as the white knight from Monty Python and standing above Iran, the black knight, who keeps saying it's a mere flesh wound with his arms and legs cut off. We've all seen the Monty Python skit. In fact, let's cue that up. I want to play that in a few minutes. And boy, do I wish this was true. But really what she posted is emblematic of the propaganda I see, that we're panicking if we say this war is bad and we say it's a strategic defeat, by the hardcore Trump supporters that think if you aren't delusional and just believe the lies and the trap that Trump walked into, the Iranian trap, the Israeli trap, that because we're informed and geopolitically literate and because we're right, we're the bad guys. And it must feel really good to just calmly think everything's fine and just to be, you know, delusional. And I'm not talking about Broderick herself. I'm just talking about people in general. And a lot of boomers have called in and got mad at me and said, we're not for this war. Stop saying boomers are stupid or boomers are bad. I'm not saying that. And it has become kind of a cliche to just blame everything on the boomers. Statistically, boomers did vote for the neocon that they replaced Massie with. Statistically, boomers are the main group still supporting the war, but it's still only about, of conservative boomers, about 60% of them. So it is true that a large minority of them are not. But that said, that's all Trump really has left. And so I think we should have an outreach to the boomers. And you know, not treat them like they're mindless leftists. They see the good Trump's done, and they understand how bad the Democratic Socialists of America are, and they just don't want to believe we're in this much trouble, and they think that if they just prop Trump up, at least he's a lesser of two evils. My view is when you go along with what Trump's doing, that only encourages him and some of the bad guys in his administration to get even worse. And I think logically people can understand that and see that. Also, trying to get Trump to do the right thing, a lot of the black pillars think, is supporting Trump or being manipulated by Trump or being conned by Trump. When I don't have any illusions to that, I do know politically, though, if we don't lobby and don't speak out, that it only lubricates the country going off the edge of a cliff and the world going off the edge of a cliff. I think that's all extremely logical. I understand the public is so pissed off in general across the political spectrum that a lot of people are just what they say. You know, I'm done. I'm through. Okay, well, what does that mean? Just saying that, taking your ball and going home might feel good, but that's its own form of delusion, like some of the boomers that think we're playing 55 trillion D chess and everything's fine. But the big takeaway here is that people do not trust the system. And it's not just here in the United States. It's all over the world. And it's that loss of trust in the system that at one level is a very good thing, because now it's hard for the system to sell its frauds. But at another, people have lost so much trust in the system in general that a lot of people are disengaging from the world. And then that only allows evil and corrupt forces and stupid forces as well to basically have sway. So now is the time to be more politically engaged, more politically active, and more culturally active than ever before. The main battle is happening now, and the general public is just discovering how deep and systemic the corruption was. And so for a lot of newbies, they're really pissed off because they want instant gratification. But when you really think about how far we've moved the needle in awakening, in exposing tyranny, and things that we couldn't get the public to even understand before, we've had some major victories. I mean, they're going to have basically an impossible time launching a new pandemic. They're going to have a near impossible time doing new lockdowns, even with their control grids in place. And a controlled pandemic or disease X was one of the jewels in the crown of the globalists in their own think tank papers on global control. The other big one is migrant flows, crime waves they control with the Soros type DAs and judges, and of course, wars. So the left is selling capitalism doesn't work. America doesn't work. Let's try something new. Let's try communism, but let's call it socialism. And so we have to be honest as populists, as nationalists, as informed people, as Christians. We have to understand that we have a politically illiterate mass of people that have somewhat woken up the fact they're being conned, but now they're believing capitalism and free Western systems is what's corrupt, not the infestation, not the disease, not the cancer of centralized monopoly capitalism operating as a fascist model at the top, but using socialist and communist systems of control as the implementing device at the grassroots level, which is really just a new form of feudalism. We have to get the literacy rate way up in the general public to understand that in 1955, the U.S. was 4% of the world's population, and we had over 50% of the world's wealth, and 90%+ of that was in the middle class. Middle classes really didn't exist anywhere else in the world that were bigger than what you call 10%. Really only 10% of people were even somewhat, you know, in the middle, able to have a little extra wealth, able to have a vacation house, able to have a couple cars, you know, maybe own a farm and a city house. I mean, it'd be going a few vacations a year. People didn't have pools. They didn't have, I mean, that the middle class really grew in America starting in the around 1800 or so and peaked in the late 60s, early 70s. And of course, once we got a big middle class, we immediately became extremely decadent. But I quote those numbers. You can look those up. In the 1950s, we were 4% of the world population, so 96% did not live here. And we had over 50%, about 52, 53% of the world's wealth. Those are very well-documented numbers. Now, how did 4% of the world have half the wealth? And upwards of 90% of that was in the middle class and the working class. That was a completely new system. Never happened before. And as we developed the middle class in the 100 and you know 50, 60, 70 years before that, it was very small, but it got bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger. And the way we got all that wealth is we didn't steal it from somebody. That's how the left always sells things. Somebody has to lose something for you to gain something. No, we produced it. We made it. We innovated it. We decided we're going to take care of old people and build lots of hospitals. We decided we're going to take care of injured people. We decided we're going to build a bunch of jet airplanes and start going on vacation and build resorts everywhere. We decided we were going to build nuclear reactors. We decided we were going to build hydroelectric dams. We decided that we were going to put in 2-car garages. And again, I'm not just labeling that as success itself, but it's a byproduct of the innovation spirit. So the United States produced the modern world. We produced the idea of independent wealth on a mass scale. And since the mid-1970s until now, the last 50 years, we've reversed those numbers. So we had about 90% of the wealth in the hands of the working class and the middle class, and about 10% of the wealth in the uber ultra rich. Now, in the year 2026, those numbers are flipped. You got almost 90%, about 88%, the numbers vary, but it's in the high 80s, of the world's wealth in less than 1/100th of 1%. When the left says we need to get the 1%, if you make $300,000 a year consistently for a decade, you are in the 1%. Well, that's the upper middle class. Those are the people that own a bigger house, buy new cars, get their hair done, go on vacations. Those are the people that spend the money that build the infrastructure for the working class and for people to aspire to the middle class. And that's all just common sense. So they teach the working class, oh, the person that has a new car and a 4-bedroom house and pool, they're the rich. They stole that from you, even though those are people that are big consumers in the economy. When you get into that 1/100th or less, we've done the math. I mean, it's a few thousand people that control almost 90% of wealth. Okay. Well, they only had like 70-some percent of the wealth in the year 2020. Why'd it go up to almost 90? Oh, something called COVID. And the ultra rich, look this up, just type it in. Ultra rich or billionaires doubled their wealth during COVID on average. Some tripled, quadrupled. And you can also look up the entire world in general got poorer and middle class shrunk worldwide by about 30% just during the last 6 years. And the average person in the West doubled their debt in the last 6 years. So the average person, working class, middle class, shrunk, less money, less savings, more debt. We lost about half our wealth. And the elites increased their wealth. So that's what they did. That was a warfare system against us. COVID was a great reset warfare system of the elites. You'll own nothing be happening because they're going to own it all. They're going to rent it to you. And now it's the same thing with this war. At the BlackRock level, they like the war because it increases energy prices, kills the world recovery, and consolidates power. At the Israel level, they get to have greater Israel. They get to have their enemies being destroyed and depressed. It's the ideal situation. Their finance minister said 2 weeks ago that we're doing their fighting for them, that we're paying for it, and that it is wrecking basically the world economy. But Israel likes that. And that's what Israel said. So if you got a problem with that, have a problem with the psychotics that are running Israel. And the reason I raise all of this is Trump has pulled a Joe Biden. Trump has come out and blamed Exxon and Mobil for the increased gas prices. And I'm not defending Exxon and Mobil, but I went and looked the numbers up. I already knew them, but I already looked them up. If you look at the profits of those companies, they are not 1% of the increase in inflation and overall cost of oil and gas and diesel being passed on. And the main cause is the Strait of Hormuz being closed, Russia cutting exports. That's all known. And it reminded me of Biden blaming oil companies. And he went so as far as to blame gas stations. Now, anybody that knows business knows the average gas station, if they're lucky, breaks even. They make money on lottery tickets, milk, you know, bread, cigarettes, coffee, protein bars. I mean, you know what's in a convenience store, okay? Hershey's candy bars, ice cream, I'm getting hungry. You know that, and you can go in and ask any gas station owner, if it's a franchise, hey, do you make money on gas? And they'll say, nope. They got to be competitive. So they're not making money on gasoline. Now, you may have a gas station in the middle of nowhere that you notice has a lot higher prices because you don't have a choice, and you can go talk to those folks, and they'll tell you, yeah, I'm making, you know, 5% or something. So it's and I'm not even trying to bash Trump. But, I mean, he's really getting desperate here, folks, when he starts blaming the oil companies and the gas stations, okay? Because if you look at the profit of Exxon and Mobil, and there's just two companies, you've got BP and Dutch Roll, Shell, and all of them. And, yeah, they've got some profits. You know, you look up one, they're making $20 billion a year, and look up another, they're making $30 billion a year. We've lost trillions in inflation here. This is trillions that the whole world is paying extra for energy right now. It's in the multi-trillions. Look it up. So, you know, we hear the wars cost $200 billion or $250 billion the last 157 days. That's not the real cost, okay? The real cost is global inflation. The most base level of inflation is energy. And Trump knew that and said it. You know, we cut energy, we cut inflation. And he got energy prices down when it came to gas by almost half in just his first year. And then he screwed the pooch. And now all his advisors are even admitting, okay, we got to end the war. It's going to kill the economy. It's too late. And so I put a number on him 55 times. I stopped counting over a month ago because it takes some time to do it. He had said this is Iran's last chance at least 50 times on his 80th birthday at the UFC. So it was 51 times then. I went and counted it up, and you notice later the news even reported that number. That's what it was. I actually said 55 today because I'm not gonna add it up. It's probably 60 times. I mean, what was that like 5 weeks ago? The UFC fight, his birthday. So how many times has he said this is your last chance? The last 5 weeks, probably 10 times. So it's probably for the 61st time. I don't know anymore. But I put the headline out just to get that, you know, 55 times. It's worse, okay? So 50 plus times he has said this is your last chance. And I've tried to explain Pyrrhic victories to people and to the pro-war boomers. Not all your bad, I understand, but to the boomers, and they get mad, and others, and the people that follow Israeli talking points. A Pyrrhic victory is where you win a war when it comes to destroying things, if that's how you're counting. But in the end, you hurt yourself so bad, you really lose. Okay? So I guess you could argue the movie Gladiator is a Pyrrhic victory. He kills the bad guy, but he also dies. But that's a moral victory. Plus, the guy already stabbed him. He's going to die anyways. So it's not really a Pyrrhic victory. But the point is that this is a Pyrrhic victory. And the way the Pentagon calls it, the term they use is strategic defeat. So Trump gets his little two-minute reel every morning of how much stuff we blew up. And you know, Lindsey Graham said, boy, he loves watching stuff blow up. And Trump comes out and says, boy, did you see that stuff blow up? Like he's an eight-year-old kid. And now Trump is blaming the oil companies. I'm going to play a clip of that, and then let's just play it back-to-back, 23, 24, 25, and 27, the NATO ambassador. And here we're hearing, boy, we've really got a deal, great negotiation skills. That's why Trump said, I'll totally destroy you back in the Stone Age, and then bombs for a week and then stops. No, it's because we're out of the interceptor missiles. And every time I point that out, the neocons go, you're a panicking. We got plenty. It's just delusion. Absolute delusion. And they do it over and over and over again. And your delusion will not defeat reality. I'm not trying to make Trump fail. I'm not trying to cheerlead and say, look at what it is. This is crushing our country and the world. This is going to cause illegal alien migrant flows with the fertilizer cut off, the likes of which the world's never seen. Watch. Next fall, just watch. It's already cranking up. This is a disaster. The globalists are happy as pigs, and you know what? Because the Great Reset's here, and now the country is going to go bankrupt. The recovery is failing. And just cheerleading around and saying that it's not is just not true. This is killing the dollar. This is wrecking the country, making way for the New World Order. And I don't think Trump consciously knows he's doing that, but it doesn't matter. That's where we are. So if you think you're poor now, if you think you've got problems now, if you think you see the economy shutting down now, or you think you did a lot better in the past, but you can see things are getting, you know, lean and mean, ladies and gentlemen, you ain't seen nothing yet. We got all the Soros judges and DAs. We've got communists coming in everywhere, promising everybody free stuff as they try to cut down the resources at the same time for Cloward and Piven. And it is going to be a hellscape. So that's why I tried to get behind Trump when he was doing pretty good. That's why I tried to fix things, be optimistic. That's why I held my nose on some of the stuff that was obviously bad. But he's veered so far now. I mean, I didn't even get to this yesterday. Because it was so incredible when I learned about it 2 days ago that I studied it. I did a deep dive on it. And then I had a bunch of notes here and somebody threw them away. And I just spent an hour and a half this morning looking for them. But I'm going to get my notes again and my printouts again. It's okay. I went and dug to the trash out there at the dumpster and didn't find my notes and printouts, but I'm going to get them. I'm going to get them. And Trump has created a new business with his family, a data company where companies pay him and individuals to be given stock tips and business tips on what you should invest in. I mean, open insider trading. And I guess the argument is, well, Pelosi did it and was more than double successful than the best stock pickers. So why not just make it official? So you'll now be able to buy insider information from a data. I mean, you know, Bloomberg did it forever with his terminals, and they had people there in live time. They could aggregate it and, you know, have people be a few minutes ahead of everybody else, and the flash trading and all that stuff. So yeah, the whole system is more rigged than ever. Why not just have the chief executive? And I'll say this, that's nice of him. That they're going to sell the data to everybody. Of course, when everybody starts using it, then it kind of makes it have a strange effect. I'm not sure what that'll do. But regardless, we'll come back and get to all of us. Stay with us. I'll tell you something right now that is one of the most, if not the most important things I've ever talked about on air. And I want you to really listen to me. And I want you to get a pen and paper out of your iPhone, out of your Droid, and type this into your notes. And I want you at lunch today or tonight or right now to just go to any search engine you want and type in two different names, two different words, okay? Two different drugs that have won Nobel Prizes, you name it, that people don't want you to know about. And one of those is ivermectin that everybody knows about. The other one that most people still don't know about is mebendazole. If you do the research, then it's important to understand that you need to get it from a pharmacy. You need to get it from a doctor. And we have a sponsor, and that's, of course, Bigly. And they went and they used the same service as, you know, the big web, RXs, and great people we've used that have been sponsors in the past. But this is Bigly doing it. And the key is it's real, it's pharmaceutical, and it is a very low price. People are selling knockoffs of it online without a prescription, and a lot of it's fake or a lot of it's watered down and adulterated. Because I did a regimen a couple years ago of mebendazole. We'll put that on screen. That's how you spell it right there. MEBENDAZOLE. And it didn't have any effect. I bought it off of Amazon. And then I did more research. And they said most of that stuff's fake. So I went and I got it from a doctor. And it was incredible. And my own medical doctor owns clinics all over the state of Texas had already been pushing it on me for years. And I just never done it. Ladies and gentlemen, you can get the two in a combo. The ivermectin and the mebendazole together. And they work synergistically together. It is certified and known, both of them, as incredible anti-parasite. Just search the term ivermectin, mebendazole, and just put in study and do your own research and see what the system has been suppressing about this. And this is something, in my view, talk to your physician. And when you go to the website, it's, you know, online pharmacy, and they've got nurses, doctors, all of it. And then you get the prescription. It's very, very easy to do. And I would recommend, but talk to your doctors. My own personal opinion. What I do for myself is twice a year, I take a regimen of ivermectin and mebendazole. And it is incredible. People ask why I look so young while I'm healthy. Well, it's a cocktail of things. It's the ivermectin. It's the mebendazole that I take about twice a year as a regimen. Some people, my medical doctor says, take a little bit of ivermectin every week. But I tend to forget to do that. She's literally just says take like two pills a week as a supplemental. That's what my medical doctor tells me. You get your own medical doctor to tell you what you want. But the big thing they say is a couple of times a year, a big dose, a big regimen. You talk to your physicians. You talk to the folks in the online pharmacy. Let me put it on screen for you. 1776RX, just 1776RX.health. This is one of the most important things you'll ever do, ladies and gentlemen. And despite the system trying to suppress this information, it's getting out everywhere. So do your own research. This is revolutionary. This is so important. 1776, just the numbers, 1776RX.health. Those are the coordinates, and it's a win-win to find our operation and what we're doing. Take action now. The most important decision you'll ever make, 1776RX.health, and get your ivermectin mebendazole right now, ladies and gentlemen. But whatever you do, go to the AlexJonesStore.com. These are incredible products. All these things work. They're not sexy names. IRCMOS, Shilajit, bovine colostrum. Oh, research bovine colostrum and then find out we have the best. Oh, research IRCMOS. We have the best. Research Shilajit. We have the best. We just bring you things the bad guys don't want you to know about at TheAlexJonesStore.com and, of course, at 1776RX.health. Take action now. Thank you so much for your support.
Days, weeks, and even years ahead of the news cycle, AlexJonesLive.com is tomorrow's news today.
You fight with the strength of many men, Sir Knight. I am Arthur, King of the Britons. I seek the finest and the bravest knights in the land to join me in my court at Camelot. You have proved yourself worthy. Will you join me? You make me sad. So be it. Come, Patsy.
None shall pass.
What?
None shall pass.
I have no quarrel with you, good Sir Knight, but I must cross this bridge.
Then you shall die.
I command you, as King of the Britons, to stand aside.
I move for no man.
So be it.
And this is the analogy that the neocons and their followers are using everywhere. And this is what we've done to Iran. And in truth, BlackRock and the globalists are screwing everyone, and they're winning. And we're just chopping each other up.
Now stand aside, worthy adversary.
'Tis but a scratch.
A scratch? Your arm's off.
No, it isn't.
Well, what's that then?
I've heard worse.
You liar!
Come on, you pansy!
Victory is mine!
We thank thee, Lord, that in thy mouth...
Come on, then!
What?
Hatch!
you! You are indeed brave tonight, but the fight is mine.
Oh, had enough, eh?
Look, you stupid bastard, you've got no arms left.
Yes, I have.
Look!
Just a flesh wound.
Look, stop that!
Chicken! Chicken!
Now, the real analogy would be the economy is on fire, meaning burning down. And while we're busy fighting Iran, we're burning up. And they're on fire, too. So this is a disaster, just like From Russia with Love, with the two Siamese fighting fish fighting, and then Spectre sitting back while the two exhaust each other. One dies, the other's half alive. Now Spectre can move in and finish the job. So let me finish up on the economy, then I'll get into the news. Regan Harris-Smith, we got a huge guest today as well. What we're witnessing is not free market capitalism. What we're witnessing is globalism, corrupt corporations with rigged economies, consolidating wealth by design from 4% of the population of the world, the U.S., having the biggest middle class and upwards of 90% of the wealth. In the last 50 years, that's been flipped with almost 90% in the hands of less than 1/100th of 1% who have doubled their wealth in the last 6 years and who are continuing to increase their wealth. You see the stock market go up. That reflects fiat inflation. And it's not real trillions. But in the real economy, you know what's happened. Deindustrialization, debt, crime, all the rest of it that comes with it. And so that's being sold by the communists as capitalism failing. And the answer is, oh, you've got the flu. How about we shoot you in the chest with a 12-gauge shotgun? That'll fix the problem. Or, oh, you've stepped on a nail? We'll just chop your leg off instead of giving you antibiotics. So another analogy is the West has gangrene. It started on our toe. Now it's the whole leg. And if we don't get it cleaned up and get all the right antibiotics, we're going to lose the whole leg. In fact, if we don't even cut the leg off at that point, we'll lose the whole body. We'll die. So that's where we are. And you try to educate people. You've got young folks on average, not all of them, but over 60% saying they want socialism and communism. Not saying all young people. Those are just the numbers. And then you got the boomers that think everything's perfect, about 65% of them. And then you've got those of us, you know, that know how the world really works that have to educate these people. And we have to also say to the globalists and to their systems, through our state governments, take back the federal government if we can, we're going to curtail BlackRock and these other institutions that are trying to consolidate what wealth is left to control us. And BlackRock says, we want all the wealth so we can control your behavior. I can play you clip after clip of Larry Fink saying that, or the Secretary General of the UN saying that, and that's saying once they collapse the world economy, they're going to bring in the central bank digital currency with a unified ledger where you don't own anything anymore. Your house, your car is now owned by the collective, but you get benefits from it, but they can take it away or modify it with your social credit score or add to it whenever they want. So if you think we're in a hellish system now, this AI technocratic feudalist slave system they're setting up is beyond communism. It is a nightmarish system that was written about when a man had a vision 2,000 years ago on the island of Patmos, and his name was John. We know him as John the Revelator, and we know about the book he wrote called Revelations. Revelation. You could say, well, he was just a great science fiction writer. Okay, well, let's just say it's not inspired by God. That's not the case. But for sake of argument, bad people took that plan and said, gee, this is a really good way to enslave people. Let's build this beast thing that's exactly described in the Bible. Worldwide, everyone can see the image of the beast in their homes and at the marketplace. And it describes the big, tall beast, basically hologram, that does signs and wonders and blasphemies and can cure disease and answer any of your questions and control everybody. And you have to worship the beast system. You have to be in compliance with the beast. You don't just take a mark. You worship the beast. You follow its orders. You do what it says, or you can't buy or sell the central bank digital currency, global social credit score, to, quote, control your behavior. The Chinese government, like 6-7 years ago on national TV, had the director of their national social credit score AI system. It's already been in place there for a decade. It's already here. They just haven't fully had the fangs come out yet or the claws come out yet. So it's happening now. They wanted to first get us wrapped up by the boa constrictor. And he says on TV, he goes, with this system, you cannot leave one half foot outside your house, rent a car, get on a train, go to the grocery store, unless you're in full compliance with us. And then the drones fly around and scan your face and call the police on you. They're now weaponized. It's all robot enforced. You want to know the future. It's what you see in Ukraine. It's what you see in China. It's what you see in Gaza. AI deciding who's going to be killed using those systems. So we have to reject this system. We have to be aware of this system. And when everybody was getting upset about Flock in the last 6 months, I said, it's very important. I'm glad you recognize this is scanning your license plate and listening to your conversations and selling your data. But Flock is just one little piece of this, of the larger system. And now people are figuring that out. And that's a very, very good thing. I know most of this audience already knew that. Remember, I'm always speaking to those that don't understand because they're the important ones. They're the prodigal sons. You were already awake. It's up to you and I to wake these folks up, though it is frustrating and annoying sometimes. So let me get back to the Iran situation, bring in Harrison on that. And then I want to shift into the Democrat Socialists of America. Carl Serafin joining us. And of course, I want to talk about Todd Blanche too when we finish on that. Todd Blanche, we're supposed to support Todd Blanche because the Democrats, some of them have been opposing him. And it's the same thing. Oh, we're supposed to support Israel and its Greater Israel Project because we're not for the Muslims. Well, no, I could be against what the Muslims are doing and be against Israel controlling our foreign policy and dragging us into disastrous wars. Yet I can be against cancer and heart attacks. I can be against being thrown into a pit of rattlesnakes or cobras. It's not like, oh, you don't want to be in this thing with cobras, so you're for rattlesnakes. And I'm like, no, I don't want to be thrown into either pit, but cobras are more aggressive, so if I have to be, I'll take the rattlesnakes. But that's not really a choice we're being given, is it? So let's play those clips I mentioned, and then I want to get to Nick Fuentes' breakdown on this. You've heard me make the same breakdown since what's happening, but he does it in a very neat way. So I thought by neat, I mean, clean, concise, about why this is a dead end, why Trump can't get out, because Israel's not going to let Trump out. Israel wants regime change. And then they've openly said, before this even started, they think it'll take about 3 to 5 years. Yeah, trillions of dollars of weapons and thousands and thousands of lives and trillions in a killed economy. And this is an ideal situation. And now Trump is kind of believes in that. That's why he said, hey, Vietnam lasted 19 years. So just get used to it. Of course, it didn't last 19, but his mindset. 11 would be bad enough. So here's Trump blaming the oil companies. And I've looked the numbers up. It's a tiny percentage of what the cost is. But they are getting profits, yes. And he singled out American companies. I guess he thinks he can intimidate them to give up profit. And then what? Maybe your gas goes down a penny or something? I mean, look it up yourself. It's a guesstimation, but it's a very small percentage of why it's scarcity is causing this. And then that causes in supply and demand. When something is in high demand and scarce, what happens to it? We all know that from fifth grade, first economics class we got. It causes things to go up in price. That's how the universe works. So let's go ahead and go to Trump on the oil companies. And then the final chance, and of course, in a week or so, it'll be another final chance. And then with all this mass inflation, what do the companies and what do the elites do? they put their money into the stock market because that's where they hide the inflation. So the strength of the stock market is a reflection of how dangerous all this is and a reflection of how they're propping up their own system to everybody else's detriment. This is a wealth transfer. Because most people don't have the money to buy these overpriced stocks to begin with. And when the dot-com 2.0 bubble goes down, the AI bubble, which can be any time, it is going to be spectacular. But because the economic system is so rigged now, it might actually never even do that. So most of us will be homeless, but the stock market will be up. Don't you worry. So here's Trump on the oil companies, and then the final chance on the war. And then let's go to the NATO ambassador talking about how wonderful all this is. Here it is.
And Chevron, Integrated Oil U.S., just announced record profits second quarter.
Yeah.
Unbelievable. For Exxon, for instance, 14 million highest they've had in over a decade. For Chevron for the quarter, highest in history.
By 12 times.
On the back.
You saw that.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, it's unbelievable. On the back.
I don't like it.
Workers paying higher debts.
Yeah.
Whatever is our...
They're making too much money. Okay. Based on a shortage, they're making too much money. I don't like it. And I should be the last one to say, because I'm a big free enterprise guy, nobody bigger. And, you know, you're going to see oil when we're finished with Iran, you're going to see the prices drop through the floor. But they made too much money. Too much money. Chevron, too much money. ExxonMobil, too much money. When you look at one company where they made 12 times what they made the year before, they're going to give some of that back to the public. And they better cut the retail price, the consumer price. Too much money. You're surprised I'm saying it? I'll say it loud and clear. I'm not happy about it.
Hit pause and back it up 10 seconds. Guys, just type in Exxon profits, okay? Just type it in. And again, I checked this yesterday. Exxon made $14 billion. Another one made $10 billion. All these companies together, it's like $30 billion. Okay? Folks, $30 billion. The damn war is like $250 billion just for the weapons in the last 156 days. You can look up estimates by the OECD and other big institutions, global institutions, how much energy prices have increased, how much people have paid because of the war, extra energy. It's in the multi-trillions. But I already made the point. Everybody knows I'm right. Okay. Let's take the $14 billion of Exxon and let's take the $10 billion or whatever from Chevron and let's just take it and put it in there. Fine. The second argument, let's do it. Okay, so how much is that going to lower oil prices? Not even a penny? At the pump? I mean, maybe you save a penny? No, it's fraud. And I've already made my point. Let's go back to Trump and then to him on the war.
12 times what they made the year before, they're going to give some of that back to the public. And they better cut the retail price, the consumer price. Too much money. You're surprised I'm saying it? I'll say it loud and clear. I'm not happy about it. Go ahead. Go ahead.
Mr. President, this is at least the fifth time you've turned off airstrikes against Iran since April to negotiate. What is your message to the American people who are wondering what has changed this time? Why should it be any different?
Well, you don't know. I don't know. I think we're going to maybe get something, but I want to give them every last chance before decapitation. Very tough to do what we have planned, still planned. We'll see what happens. But it's a very, very tough thing to do. I think I'm very proud of the fact that I'll give people a chance. This is a big move. To do an attack that big on a country, I'd rather not do it. Now, we've already through lots of large attacks, but they were normal large. Hopefully they'll come to their senses, because what happened, cannot have a nuclear weapon, but hopefully they'll come to their senses. So they called me and they said, please don't attack. We'll make a deal. That's the real truth. And everyone knows it. And who wouldn't call? And they found out through leaks in sleaze bags, you know, a lot of sleaze bags, leakers. Leakers should be put in jail. They have to strengthen up the laws for leakers. But in this case, leakers helped because they said the severity of the attack, and Iran knew it. They knew what was coming. It was going to come last night, and it would have gone on for a long time, and there'd be essentially very little left. There'd be nothing left. And if I'm given a chance to let a lot of people live, I want to give that chance. So I'm under no time constraint.
Mr. President, are the talks with Iran now off and are airstrikes
going on? No, they're on. They're going on right now. It's an amazing thing. We have a little problem with Iran because we have many talks and we'll say we have or we don't have. You know, we're straight about it. But they deny it. But they're not denying it now. They just put out a statement, not denying it. But for some reason, when they're talking, they don't like saying that they're talking. So I say, we're in talks. Big deal. We're in talks. And they'll sometimes deny it, even though they spend hours and hours together talking. No, the talks are going along. We're going to hit them very hard yesterday. Very, very hard. Harder than
all right, that's enough.
Any attack.
That's enough. This all sounds like more talk, but I've talked a lot about decapitation weapons, and now he's using that term. Not never to return, end of civilization, giant glowing crater. That's nukes. They do have the DU SAMO meteor guns, what it is, and it drops a kinetically very heavy weapon that doesn't have explosives in it. DU jacketed into special alloy, so it doesn't burn up on reentry. And it hits its target about 35,000 miles an hour. And it will take out stuff under a mountain, a mile deep. And I was told by the guy that headed up Star Wars, because they accidentally declassified part of it, as long as he could talk about it, under Bob Bowman, that they had that stuff in the late 70s in orbit. And now it's just unbelievable. So, yeah, the U.S. does have a lot of really nasty, nasty weapons. Now he's talking about decapitation. That would mean hitting the leadership all over the place, even if they're in bunkers and taking out a couple more levels of their leadership. And the way they're set up, that probably won't work either. So there we are. I'm going to come back with the Nick Fuentes' breakdown on this and the fact that Israel isn't going to let us in the war and why this is such a disaster. But I'm going to shift gears out of that. And Harrison Smith's riding shotgun with me. We're going to get his take on all of this and more today. But I just want to just say something very clearly to everybody. It is now more important than ever that we obviously stay on air because we're going to tell the truth. We're going to expose their next pandemic. We're going to expose these wars. A lot of very important people in governments around the world, not just ours. Listen, it's a very important public service to stay on the air. I don't want to just stay at the size we're at with Harrison and I. I want to get more hosts. Harrison and I did a pretty good job, but you know, obviously we need to be on more hours of the day as stuff breaks, massively increase the amount of viral content that we have to fight the info war. So I humbly ask people to look around you and say, where else could you invest in something that stands up for all of our basic freedoms and liberties in a more fearless way? And our guest, our host, what we do is the best there is. And so I want to be bigger than InfoWars ever was, but that's up to you. I want to thank all of you that have been supporting. You're incredible. But I want to just encourage folks that have not been supporting or never went to the AlexJonesStore.com to get the incredible supplements, the widest selection of Patriot apparel, and so many other great items. What are you thinking? When I tell you ultramethylene blue is so good for you and it'll change your life, it really does. But I tell you that our Irish sea moss is incredible. It is. When I tell you our bovine colostrum is the best, it is. When I tell you our capsules and liquid turmeric is the strongest and the best, incredible anti-inflammatory, it is. All this stuff is designed to work, to empower you. That is the bottom line. All you've got to do is try Ultimate Power. It's way stronger than Turbo Force. If you love Turbo Force, it's a similar formula, but even stronger. And we extended the sale because I've been so focused. I'm the guy that comes up with most of the sales. And we do have a new sale and we do have a new product, but I'm going to announce that tomorrow. This is the last day of this huge 50% off sale on the Ultramethylene Red and on the Ultimate Power pre-post-workout energy drink, you name it, and on a whole bunch of other amazing supplements, 40% off on the liquid tincture, ultramethylene blue, 40% off on the amazing zeolite, the detoxification system. These are all game changers. And if you've never taken any of them, I'd start with methylene blue. Then I'd start taking the Irish sea moss, and I'd take the Shilajit. Because I want you to feel what each one does. If you take a bunch at once, you'll go, God, I feel so great. You know, and I want you to know what each one does. And then when I forget to take a cocktail of this stuff, I really feel it. It really, really is a game changer. It's really, really empowering. TheAlexJonesStore.com. And we've always had great t-shirts, but I mean, they just get better and better. We've also got the tank tops now, a bunch of different cool shorts, dress shirts. They're amazing. These are brand names at incredibly low prices. The ball caps are incredible. It's all there at TheAlexJonesStore.com. And it's an adventure to wear these shirts and hats out in public. You'll see how popular liberty and freedom really is. Now, the folks at Bigley have also launched an online pharmacy, and more stuff's about to get added. They're going to be a full pharmacy. But I wanted them to run it with just the most powerful anti-parasitics out there, best prescription, the very best prescription-grade ivermectin, the very best benzidol. Together, they're incredible, but it's not just anti-parasitic, folks. You need to search mebendazole. You need to search ivermectin and what they're associated with and what else they do, particularly the mebendazole, because the bad guys do not want you to know what this does, but it is a total detox in the body. I personally like to do it a couple times a year. It's just a total detox. Any parasites, bye-bye. So much other stuff. It is such a game changer. And there is so much fake ivermectin or watered-down ivermectin and mebendazole out there that it's really important to get it from an online pharmacy. This is a really strong formula, both the ivermectin and the mebendazole, all there together in one fusion right now at 1776RX.health, 1776RX.health. And a lot of new stuff is actually getting added on the site Friday. A lot of other great prescriptions you'll be able to get. So take action now. We'll be right back with our number two stories.
There's a massive sale going on right now at TheAlexJonesStore.com. Huge. Ultimate summer sale. 50% off. Ultimate Power, Freedom, Mango, and Patriot Punch. Methylene Red Capsules. This is a proprietary product. It would take an hour to get into Ultra Methylene Red. The capsules are now in. Mind-fueled nootropic energy shots. All 50% off. 40% off zeolite tincture. Detoxifying, go up for spike protein, and it's good for your whole body getting heavy metals out. Methylene Blue Tincture, 40% off. Sea Moss Gummies, 40% off. Shilajit Gummies, 40% off. Methylene Blue Gummies, 40% off. Ultimate Chill, and a whole bunch of other big discounts as well. 30% off all apparel. The widest selection of Patriot shirts of every different design, configuration. It is the widest selection. It's over 800 different shirts. It's ridiculous. The new line that I designed is, I think, pretty good. Rebel Scum since 1776. The Betsy Ross flag, less 1984, more 1776 in muscle shirts. A whole bunch of other really cool stuff now at TheAlexShowStore.com. I love this lightweight so-called dress shirt, but it's a very special type of shirt from a great manufacturer. We now have the boxer shorts, and they're not boxer like underwear. It's, you know, the classic boxer shorts that aren't long and aren't short. They're just kind of medium. They're my favorite type. I picked these out. I picked the brand. I said, this is the type of short I like. We're adding a lot of new apparel at TheAlexJonesStore.com. And every order right now, and it's about to end in the next few days, gets a free mystery T-shirt. You just put your size in, you get a free mystery T-shirt. With every order that's $29 or more at TheAlexJonesStore.com. That is a hell of a deal right now. We've got the silver collectible 250-year anniversary with the amazing Jerusalem cross. Those are going to be gone soon. TheAlexJonesStore.com. And you stand with us, and you know that all the great work we're doing is because of you. You are the reason we're here. You are the InfoWar. TheAlexJonesStore.com.
Days, weeks, and even years ahead of the news cycle. AlexJonesLive.com is tomorrow's news today.
Mabenzidol. Mabenzidol, ladies and gentlemen. That is the name of the anti-parasitic that you need to write down. Mabenzidol. You need to write that down. You need to then go to 1776rx.health, and you need to get it comboed with the ivermectin that won a Nobel Prize for its anti-parasitic properties. Together in studies, you look this up, they work synergistically, and it doesn't just knock out parasites. They don't want you to know what else it does. It does a whole bunch of incredible stuff. We're talking about mabenzidol right now. We're talking about taking action. We're talking about empowering yourself. It is so important that we use the compounds that God gave us through human ingenuity, through the development of things like this, to be able to counter what's happening. Get yours at 1776rx.health. You're absolutely crazy if you don't. And this supports the broadcast. It's massively discounted off the price you see when you go get it there on the store. And this is the real pharmaceutical grade that you can get right now at 1776rx.health. Now, I want to bring in Harrison Smith, who I'm going to host with Seraph, and then he'll fully take over here. And then I'm back in the ATX late tonight, but tomorrow for everybody. But, you know, you just heard me get into the economy last hour. I want to get your take on it. And I'm trying to be as clear as I can. I know a lot of the audience is as smart as we are, smarter. But they have to know I'm trying to talk to leftists that really believe communism and socialism is a good thing. I'm trying to explain to them, well, the economic system we have now is not free market capitalism. The globalism is a rigged system, and it's getting more rigged. And they are, the globalists through the universities, through the systems, are funding communism and socialism as the answer to counter their corruption, because that's actually a control system and the universal basic income that they've set up. And there's somehow we've got to get this through to their brains that the ultra rich are using socialism and communism as control, something the John Birch Society and, you know, even McCarthy got the documents on in the 50s. I mean, this is what we're facing. And we're here, Harrison. And the fight to me is intellectually educating the public to understand this, but then also dismantling the globalist system, because they're going to make it impossible where you're forced on the universal basic income, whether you like communism or not.
Yeah, absolutely. And I'm glad that Trump is now actually using the term communism and sort of, you know, getting people aware of this threat. I think it's a very real threat. I think people are sort of underestimating it. I think after the fall of the Soviet Union, we kind of stopped indoctrinating in a good way, in a positive way, our kids into understanding that communism is evil. We just sort of went, well, we won, it lost, we don't really have to care about it anymore. And slowly but surely, it's been sort of fermenting and bubbling up under the surface. And now you've got these literal children. I mean, I call them children because it's like the mayor of Seattle, James Tallarico, running for office in Texas. James Tallarico's never had a bank account. He shares a bank account with his mother, the woman who now runs Seattle and is completely failing. 4 months in, she like has completely lost the confidence of her entire government. They're thinking about impeaching her. 4 months in, she lived with her parents, like in her parents' basement until she got elected. Same with this Hong woman. You know, she had some massive debt that her family had to pay off. It's like, why are we?
Bernie Sanders never had a job in his life.
Exactly.
Other than government.
Exactly. Why are we electing? Why are our fellow Americans electing these literal children who have never made a decision that affects anybody but themselves? And they're putting them in these positions of power. And I mean, you hit the nail on the head when it's like, it's the population voting for them. Why are they voting for them? Why are they so demoralized that they'll just take the, you know, James Tallarico because he says they'll give them money because they've lost hope in the system actually serving justice or the rule of law or anything like that? I think Mamdani is very much a taste of things to come. And I think that all of the threats of socialism failing in New York, I don't think it's going to fail. I think the billionaires want it to succeed, and they're going to make sure it succeeds. So, you know, they just started this grocery store, and people go, a socialist grocery store, that'll never work. Of course it'll work. They don't have to make profit. They can fill in their, you know, funds with your money, taking it at gunpoint. So, you know,
they're going to subsidize it and put everybody out of business. Exactly. We'll be right back. Ladies and gentlemen, Bigley has launched an online pharmacy, 1776rx.health. It's one product we're launching with, my decision, and that is ivermectin with mabenzidol, both powerful really good anti-parasitics. It doesn't just get the big worms and all the crap that's out there. It's amoebas, it's microplasms. It is so important. These two together, I mean, ivermectin is a Nobel Prize winning for this. But minbenzidol is the big one. And folks, it isn't just parasites. Just search minbenzidol studies. Just put that into a search engine and you'll see congressional hearings. You'll see top scientists. You'll see all the studies on what else it does that they don't want you to know about. It's dramatic. So, and you won't know if you had any type of parasitical deal or whatever until you've done this. And a lot of people went there yesterday. A lot of people got it. Very smart move. 1776rx.health.
Waging war on corruption. It's Alex Jones coming to you live from the front lines of the info war.
We are now into hour number two. Kyle Serafin was an EMT, an Air Force veteran, and a counterterrorism agent at the FBI. And he's been one of the very best sources out there. Every prediction that he has basically made or broken down has come true here, except, and even that he was right. He said he's heard Kash Patel will be fired in the next few days. That was months ago. And then Kash Patel wasn't fired. But a few days later, the news reported that Trump almost fired him. Just like we heard that Tulsi Gabbard was going to be fired. And then Roger Stone confirmed to me, and he later told the story on air. He called, talked to Trump for an hour, explained that this is a lie. She's not running against you. You know, she's not about to resign. She's not setting you up. It isn't true. Laura Loomer is a liar. And Trump didn't fire her. But then there was so much pressure, she was told to leave a month later. So our prediction hearing she was fired, oh, we hear she's fired today, was real. But it's like when somebody's on death row and then at the last minute, you know, there's a special injunction by a judge and it, you know, there's a lawsuit. It doesn't happen. But they love, just to show how accurate we are, the neocons, I see it every day without looking. They take a clip of me and Serafin from whenever it was, 3 months ago, whatever it was. And they go, look, your daily reminder, Jones and Serafin said that Cash was going to be fired. And he's like, I don't know if it's accurate, but it's from good sources. I'm told he's going to be fired in the next few days. And we wouldn't say he will be fired. We said we hear he's being fired. But I don't even obsess over that. The guy obviously is just a Hollywood wannabe and does whatever Trump tells him to do. But where I am really worried about is Todd Blanch. And I made the point last year. I said, I bet when they get a new attorney general, and we did predict he'd get rid of Bondi. I said, I bet it's Todd Blanch. People said, no way. Former Democrat lawyer, Southern District of New York, Trump's bag man, the guy that writes all these letters authorizing insider trading, authorizing Trump not having to pay income taxes. I mean, it's crazy. And Blanch testified recently before Congress that he is Trump's personal lawyer. And so now we put this on screen. Trump is announcing a Truth Social function that you can subscribe to that will give you insider information on what stocks to pick according to what decisions Trump's going to make. So Trump can go now do stock tips that he's been doing for all the sons of his cabinet where they're all making billions apiece. And Rothschild's giving, you know, getting them islands off Albania and putting up fences so people can't use the seashore so they riot. I mean, look, I don't want to be on a Trump bashing fest here, but this makes Pelosi blush. Yeah, let's put that back on screen. Look at that. I mean, this is the level of stuff. Trump media launches paid real-time Truth Social feed for traders. The Truth API gives hedge funds and trader firms instant access to market-moving posts that Trump and top users aimed to monetize the platform's real-time data. So it's the Bloomberg terminal as a high margin revenue stream. So Pelosi, they're like, hey, hold my beer, Pelosi. I mean, think about that, that she made more than double in her stock picks what other top stock traders did. So Everybody was way below her. Well, hold my beer. Trump family as the largest shareholders stands to gain directly from the fees. Lawmakers like Senator Warren and Schiff demand SEC probes over corruption fears, while the company insists it's just fashion delivery of public info through Trump's past posts like the green candles have visible swayed markets. Okay, so let's just stop there, and I'm going to call Serafin. What's crazy about this is, oh, because Schiff's against it, and he's an evil Democrat, who I totally hate, you try to put me in prison, it must be okay, let's back it, because we're cheerleaders for Trump. Oh, if they do a deal in Tajikistan for tungsten for a couple billion bucks, and the day after his sons are put on the board and, you know, given all this money, Trump does the U.S. government deal to buy the tungsten, or the UAE and the Qataris, everybody else, they come and buy billions from their crypto company. It all goes belly up, rug pull. They don't even complain. The Trumps get the money. This is bonker town. I mean, this is the most naked crap I have ever seen. But don't worry, Todd Blanche will give them a little get out of jail free card. And I remember Al Serafin like 6 months ago was saying, watch, because he was getting notices that of grand jury stuff and FBI stuff, because Google tells you, hey, we've got subpoenas. And I got one. I showed him. He got one the next day. And he was like on the phone going, yeah, I bet actually, you know, they come after us. And so not only is the weaponization continuing, it'll probably just get worse on this trajectory. So we can't get any Democrats or deep staters indicted. Don't worry. Todd Blanche went and killed the investigation that Ed Martin was doing. Six different investigations into the CIA and DOJ running the fake lawfare against me, the show trials, smoking gun, financing it, the DOJ through grant money, all of it. And Todd Blanche literally told ABC News, well, Jones is fringe, so we're killing the investigation. So I deserve all this to be done to me. That's just great. And I didn't get mad at Trump even when that happened a year ago. I just said, okay, well, you know, I just hope Trump doesn't keep going sideways. And now, yeah. So, Kyle, that's kind of the setup. I appreciate you, popular podcaster, Kyle Serafin Show. People can find it everywhere and on X. Just search Kyle Serafin. Kyle, what do you make of Todd Blanche? What do you make of the fact that he's advancing now to a full Senate vote? Looks like he's in. When I've criticized him now, I'm being called a leftist traitor because some of the Democrats oppose him. That means he must be good. Again, a very mindless system here where it's like tug of war with a dog. Oh, you can't have this. And so now they want it. And so now Todd Blanche is our champion. All the never Trumpers, whether they're Democrats or Republicans, whether they're Mark Levin or Todd Blanche. And what do you expect to see once Todd Blanche is, I mean, he's already been the acting AG for I don't know how many months. Pam Bondi's been gone. But I got to tell you, this is really sickening behavior, but also sickening by the minority of people. But it's still a big minority of Trump supporters that are really pissed that I'm not supporting Todd Blanche. I guess he didn't hurt me and my family bad enough killing that investigation. So I should thank him for this.
There's a lot there, Alex. So let me kind of, on the bigger scale of it, I'm ambivalent. There are things about Todd Blanche that give me significant pause. Some of those include the fact that when the Epstein files investigation was shut down, which happened just over a year ago, it was a year and a month ago, almost to the day last year. And so they shut it down. And we're told both by Pam Bondi, who was under sworn testimony, and actually by Todd Blanche at the time, that it was his choice. It was Daniel Bongino's choice. And it was Cash Patel's choice. And there was no daylight between DOJ and FBI. So they're the ones that owned it at the time and took responsibility for it. People can make that what they will. I'm cursed with a memory, probably in the same way that you are, that I remember things that maybe everyone else tends to forget because they move on to the next shiny object and all the shiny objects just pile up in a cabinet in my brain. So that's one of those things. I've also had people that have been in Todd Blanche's orbit that have been really decent. In fact, I met his senior, I think his senior legal counsel, and he was a really good man from what I could tell. He'd also suffered pretty aggressively under the hands of the state and had really had an articulate understanding of what weaponization looked like. And when he explained it to me and some plaintiffs in an FBI lawsuit, it sounded very genuine. And if you surround yourself with genuine people, you know, that says something about you. The company you keep says a lot about you. So that's kind of a mitigating factor on the Todd Blanche story. Then I hear the stories that you've shared and the stuff that's gone on with Ed Martin. I'm not personally privy to it, but I respect you as a person and I don't think you're making it up. And so that's another sort of thing that weighs in. I'll look at a couple of things that people can sort of assess from their own, you know, vantage point. Number one, Todd Blanche has basically been the attorney general for the last, let's call it 5 months since Pam Bondi walked out. And he may have been running things as she was on her way out the door. So maybe 6 or 7 months. So he's functionally the attorney general as the acting attorney general right now. So that's part one. The second thing is that Todd Blanche's appointment was a political football that was being tossed around and being fought over. And it was being handled by essentially permanent Washington, which is John Cornyn and Tom Tillis. They both were like, oh, we're not going to allow his nomination to continue. We're not going to be able to do a vote on his confirmation. We're going to hold it hostage based on whether or not there's a weaponization fund. Todd Blanche has pretty clearly said that he wanted to fix weaponization. The other problem is that while he's the attorney general, they're actually doing legitimate weaponization up until the last, let's call it 48 hours. And one of the lead news stories for most of the news agencies today was that Donald Trump said that Jeanine Pirro, who I'm not a fan of, choked on a case that is pure weaponization. This is the reflecting pool, whether or not it was, you know, properly set up or whether it was destroyed by vandals. And this was a big deal going up into January 4th. I'm sorry, July 4th. So before they launched this, whatever it was, a Freedom 250 event. There was a big question on whether or not the reflecting pool was getting a rush job and was broken because they had crappy contractors or whether somebody went in there with a bunch of his Acto knives and cut it all up. And the answer was, is they charged a guy who was an Olympian, former, you know, he's probably a leftist and probably, if I had to guess, he lives in Maryland. So you make certain choices where you live. But the guy doesn't seem to have been the person that they could prove did any damage to it. And so Donald Trump is pushing a vandal, you know, vandal narrative. The evidence from DOJ came out that it was bad contracting and a poorly applied finish to the pool bottom. And Donald Trump wanted them to go after him anyway and said vandalism is the right course of action. That's weaponized government. Weaponized government is where we've already determined what the outcome is going to be. So the government goes out there and then finds the proof to be able to justify it. And if they can't get you, then they do ends justify the means. They decide to just run you down. And you know this as well as anybody, but it's going to be a legal cost. It's going to be reputational harm. It's going to be the process of going through, which ends up being the punishment that even if you're vindicated at the end of it, you're still destroyed financially, emotionally, your you know, your instincts towards any sort of trust in institution are wrecked. And so they tried to do weaponized work against this Olympic, you know, canoer, kayaker, whatever he was. And that was ongoing. And Todd Blanche was the acting attorney general when that happened. So, you know, it's a big, complicated question. But what it looks like broader to me is that business as usual continues on, that petty nonsense continues. And even though I think Donald Trump has let down most of the people that signed up for whatever it was he was selling, and he was selling 20 promises to the American people. There's this thing called Agenda 47, which was pushed out, and it was roughly similar to what Project 2025 was by the Heritage Foundation, where they said, here's all these problems. We want to shut down the border. We want to do mass deportations. We want to get rid of the largest number of people that have ever been deported in the history of America. We want to make America affordable again by reducing inflation. We want to make America independent when it comes to energy costs. So we want to solve all these different issues. And essentially, we've gotten very few of them. What we have gotten is the Trump family has gotten very rich, as you pointed out, through crypto. We're now seeing Donald Trump, who owns 41% of True Social, and Trump Media owns this big chunk of it. And they're going to give like you said, the Bloomberg terminal access to Donald Trump's market changing posts on social media. That's crazy. That'd be like if you gave a back channel that you said, well, we're going to do C-SPAN Plus, where you get direct access to the floor of the House as they're making decisions. And then we're also going to do C-SPAN Minus, which is what the regular people get. And it's 20 seconds delayed. So if they pass something crazy, then you can make market moving changes and you have this, like, you know, this window. And it might be
seconds. C-SPAN Plus would be like putting microphones at every desk so you could hear the wrangling. I mean, that would be invaluable insider trading information. For people that don't know, at the Battle of Waterloo, that's how the British Empire won against Napoleon. They sent carrier pigeons to the coast. A quick corvette went across and told the Rothschilds that the British had won. They said, oh, the British have lost, crashed the stock market, and got full control of the British Empire on record then. That's when the Rothschilds really took over the world. But side issue, that's how incredibly valuable. And in the advertisement, I didn't just believe USA Today when I saw this 2 days ago. I went to Truth Social, and the advertisement says you'll get access to market-moving data first. They're literally saying this is the definition of insider trading. And they're like, well, you're a Democrat now for being against that. No, I'm against it all. This is crazy. I mean, so what do you think is going on in Trump's brain? I know Bondi and now Blanche give him these letters, and judges have been striking those down, but that's an executive, judicial fight, constitutional crisis. But I mean, these letters, and now Trump says he's just going to pardon the entire administration. This is just, we're taking all the corruption of Biden that was record level, and instead of getting rid of it, they're building on it. There's no way to look at that and not say that's what this is.
Right. Calling out corruption from any side, looking at things that look corrupt, regardless of who the players are, that's called having principle. And so you're saying the same thing that I've been saying. It really, really upsets the people that are in the MAGA movement that want to believe something that's obviously not accurate. And anybody who's being honest can say there was a dramatic change that took place sometime in July last year. And the pivot has been, we had this agenda and it basically finally died with the Epstein files as they closed down the investigation. I'm sure they thought that was going to be the end of that discussion and then they were going to be able to do whatever. Unfortunately, there are some pesky people in independent media that have done exactly what Daniel Bongino said that we ought to do, which is not let certain stories die. And so that story plagued them for all of last year and the tail end of it from the summer into the fall. It resulted in people leaving. But the idea that you would be able to spend money and get access to information that everybody's going to eventually get, but you get it first. I mean, that's what corruption looks like if you're the person who's actually giving out the information. Now, let me say this differently. If Elon Musk were to say that, you would get access to Twitter Plus, and Twitter Plus means you get stuff faster than other people and you get a faster updated feed and we prioritize data to you. That's not the same thing because Elon Musk is not in government. But when the president of the United States owns a media company and the media company says, we're going to give you faster access to the president of the United States speech, it'd be like if they were to leak testimony to you first. And it may only be in milliseconds, but the way
they're basically saying, we're going to tell you what happens in cabinet meetings. And by the way, I've gotten a lot of that information. I never even thought to go use it financially. I mean, here's an example.
And they have this also exists in DC in a more analog version. They have a private club that Don Jr. has opened that's called the Executive Branch. And for $500,000, people can become members of this club where they can rub shoulders with people who are in the executive branch of the government. So what we saw Hunter Biden and the so-called Biden crime family get involved in, right? This is the claim is that they were the most corrupt and blatantly corrupt organization that had ever stepped into the White House. It looks like the Trump family has basically said, yeah, they were corrupt. But they were amateurs. Let me show you how a professional does it. And so it's the difference between watching T-ball and watching a Major League Baseball team do it. Because what they're doing is wildly inappropriate. And if you had any principles, you'd go, look, I don't want anybody to be using government to enrich themselves and to abuse it. And well, it looks like that's exactly what's going on.
You read my mind. I was about to say, this is Major League. And this is institutionalizing it and hiding it in plain view, which is very sophisticated because it's so bold. It's like you come home early from work and you see your neighbor's car there or your buddy's car. You walk in, open the bedroom door, and he's on top of your wife. And instead of denying, he goes, yeah, big deal. She likes it. What are you going to do? I mean, it's literally just, it's just hiding in plain view. Big deal. What are you going to do?
Yeah. And the question is what are you going to do? And the answer is we can't do anything about it. So I actually have a slightly different view on some of this stuff. And maybe I'm a little bit more, maybe I'm prematurely pessimistic in my younger age than you, but I look at this. I listened to Mark Wayne Mullen speak the other day, and he said there's no political solution to the immigration problem. Now, those were the top two things that the Trump administration promised, and it wasn't just Donald Trump making that promise. This was the Republican platform. Number one was seal the border and stop the invasion, and I think that they did a good job on that, so we'll get them credit where it's due. The second thing was the largest deportation operation in American history. That was their claim. So when I hold someone to account for what they said, it's not Kyle Serafin saying it. It's not Alex Jones saying, this is what we expected and you're not meeting my expectation. This is what you promised and you're not doing the thing you promised. And Mark Wayne Mullen said that we've worked on immigration reform since the 1950s. We've had no meaningful movement on it. Whenever we get together, we can come up with nonprofits, NGOs, people that are sort of politically aligned think tanks. We can get the executive branch together and say, what is the common ground that like the left and the right both agree on? You know, outside of their red lines that are the no's, what are the yeses, and we'll come up with a plan, and then we'll bring it to the White House. And the White House says, yes, if you can get this signed off on, we'll do it. Then you take it to Democrats and they mark it up. Then you take it to Republicans and they mark it up. And when it's all said and done, they're nowhere near anywhere and nobody can sign off on anything. So he's literally said this recently as a, you know, Homeland Security secretary with a few months under his belt, that there is no voting your way out of this. Those are my paraphrasings of his words, which is that there's no political solution. So if there's no political solution, nobody is looking upstream and saying, well, why is that? Why is our political system broken? And it's pretty easy to walk it back. And the best thing is that there's not a single person on the planet today that's alive that was around when these decisions were made. But our country, I speculate, was irreparably broken in 1913 due to a variety of things that happened at the same time. Number one, the Federal Reserve was instituted, so they destroyed our currency. Number two, they got access to your currency, the money that you're earning in your pocket first. This is the 16th Amendment, where the federal government got to dip in and do federal income taxes. And by the way, they pitched the same way the communists are pitching it today, which is that we need to do communism. They said, we're going to tax the wealthiest people because they're not paying their fair share. The 16th Amendment.
Same story. It was only going to be for the 1%.
Very, very small percent. That's right. It was going to just go after the richest people. This is the nose under the tent that the camel puts in. And then suddenly you got a camel hanging out inside your cot. And so this was done in 1913 when they were pitching the 16th Amendment. The second thing that happened on that same year was the 17th Amendment, which broke the Senate. And the Senate was meant to represent our state houses. This is something that, broadly speaking, has to be understood. The entire purpose of our two different houses, one represents the people and the other represents the states. The people are the masses. This was like the lower house, the way that they were modeling it after the House of Commons over in Britain. And then the upper house was the House of Lords. But rather than being representing like the money owners or the wealthy in America, it was meant to represent the state houses, which means you distill the power of each individual state to whatever the majority is in that state. So it represents a majority at a much more sort of distilled level, taking it from beer
It was a check on federal power in the Federalist system, that senators were creatures of the states that could be recalled and removed at will by a vote of the legislature, and instead it created an imperial Senate. Now the communists want to get rid of the Senate altogether and the Electoral College. So you're absolutely right. And so we got
and they want to get rid of it because it's broken. What's crazy is they're making the argument that it's broken, and they're right. And this is where the sort of this subtlety gets into this game. When you say something is broken, and we all agree, if you say the American system right now is unfair, the wealthy have more access to certain things, you've talked about globalists. The reason why globalists are dangerous is because they're not interested in the nationalist agenda of the actual country they live in. They're extra national entities. So that's where globalism is the issue. Same story. Recognizing the problem, they just come up with a completely different solution. I think that we should probably repeal the 17th and try to restore the Senate. What they want to do is destroy the Senate so they can take over and have more sort of mass power.
We got to go to break. 100%. It is broken. It is an imperial Senate. We don't even make it worse by getting rid of it. What we do is we repeal the 17th Amendment and we repeal the 16th Amendment for the income tax. Kyle Serafin, you're dead on. Let's bring Harrison Smith into the discussion straight ahead. Talk about the midterms, talk about the Iran war, and a lot more straight ahead. Please stay with us.
Do you want to try some?
Yes, absolutely.
All right. We'll send you some methylene blue. And if you guys want to get it too, you can get it from thealexjonesstore.com. I invented two proprietary products. Gavin, I'm a business owner, supplement formulator, power plant, and methyl drive. You guys got to get them right now. Magnesium, CoQ10, PQQ, Rhodiola Roja, Golden Root. It's got the cordyceps, the zinc, the selenium. It's got the boron as well. Raise your free testosterone. Raise your ability to get through hard days and hard tasks. And ultimately raise the potential of the methylene blue that you're probably already taking if you're watching this network. We have that available for you. It's a really good deal, really good price. People just kind of across the internet have told me they've started taking it and they've been able to get to the gym again. They've been able to get through hard days at work again. Specifically that power plant formula. If you're looking for something like Super Meal Vitality from back in the day, I basically invented a better version of that. That's called Power Plant. It's available solo or also in the Power Drive bundle at thealexjonesstore.com. Look up what proper magnesium does for your body. Look up what proper methylated vitamin B12 does for your body. All of that and more is in Power Plant and Methyl Drive, and you can get them all three together on the Power Drive bundle, along with the other phenomenal products. We have the turmeric. We've got the MK Ultra, which is a phenomenal multivitamin, also nootropic as well. Ultimate Burn. If you really, you're trying to lose a little bit of weight, here's the thing. I've been doing a good job. I'm almost down to like 205 now. If you want to join me on a weight loss journey, you can get yourself some Ultimate Burn. And all the other products we have, like Methylene Red specifically, are also great for that. Methylene Red also has that CoQ10. Get the turmeric, get the blue, get the gummies, get the colostrum. My grandma is not capping on jaw for real. It really helped her with her hair if you want it. You've got the T3 Trifecta Iodine, the absolute staple of the old network. We've got the Ultimate Sea Moss, Ultimate Turmeric, the Bovine Beef Tallow. It's got the Methylene Blue inside the tallow. Incredible antioxidant, Methylene Blue. I already went over it, tried to with Gavin a little bit. We've got the Zeolite, incredible for heavy metal support, dechelation, stuff like that. The Shilajit Complex, we've even got smelling salts. Ultimate Life Force, which is absolutely incredible. It's got the natokinase in there. It's got things, theoretically to, you know, attenuate certain anecdotal things with the spike protein. Not making a health claim there. Talk to your doctor. It's just a top-rated formula for a reason. The Ultimate CMOS gummies in another form. The creatine, the Ultimate Power. We've got tons of sales on the different forms and flavors of the Ultimate Power pre-workout. We've got the NAD. We've got the Methyl Drive. We've got the MK Ultra. We've got Optimal Human. I got drink mixes for you. I got powders. I got energy gum. This is what you need. We have an electrolyte powder. It is so important in the summer months to get proper electrolyte support. And if you look at a lot of these blends on the grocery store shelf, they are pure garbage. Get yourself some Optimal Human. Get yourself some beef tallow. Get yourself some Atomic Defense. All of that and more is available at thealexjonesstore.com. I did not even mention the water filtration, shower filtration that we have, the Patriot apparel that we have, the collectible coins memorabilia that we have. Literally everything that you could ever want theoretically or practically to support this operation, you can get at thealexjonesstore.com. This is what makes us different. Other people do a show so they can sell a product. We sell the best products in the world so that we can do the best show in the world. That's what makes this operation completely different, completely viewer, listener, supported, funded, owned by you at home when you decide, when you choose to make the decision to support us and get the phenomenal products at thealexjonesstore.com. I'm telling you again, the Power Drive Bundle, Methyl Drive, Power Plant, Methylene Blue, that is like the trifecta.
Answer to 1984 is 1776. Live from Austin, Texas, broadcasting worldwide, it's Alex Jones.
Well, as you notice here on the Alex Jones Show, Carl Serafin is a very intelligent, learned person on a wide spectrum of issues, and he keeps going back to the fact that for over 115 years or so, or however long the Federal Reserve Act, 1913, so 100 plus years, we have been in this system, and it just gets worse and worse and worse. And Trump was going to cut down the national debt. He was going to deal with the inflation. It's now roaring out of control. There's no exit ramp for him on this. Israel's not going to let him out of it. I wanted to bring Harrison Smith in to comment on Todd Blanche and give his take, and then just the general corruption, the Democrat Socialists of America, really the job we have to inform the public that socialism and communism is not the answer to this crony capitalist rigged market that you can't even call free market capitalism. When we've got our work cut out for us, because on this trajectory, most people will have to have a universal basic income, even if you don't want to be in this system. So you'll have the ultra rich above the law, international, not paying taxes. And then those of us in these different systems, a mixture of socialism and communism with a race-based divisional system. That's what the globalists describe in their white papers as the managerial system of divide and conquer, the great game that we're living under. And it's just going to get more dystopian, not better. And I don't say all this horrible stuff to get people down. We need to address the fact that where this train is going is not a good place. Harrison Smith, I want to get your take on what Kyle and I were just talking about it, and then get into some more solutions here, and also pick Kyle's brain on, as we're in the 156th, 57th day now. And Trump's trying to tell us this war might last 17, 19 years. He says the Vietnam War lasted 19. That's not true. It lasted 11, but it doesn't matter. I mean, this is bizarre. He ran on no new wars, and at least in the past, they had to sell us on a war with big lies. They tried to get the public behind it. The public woke up. It used to be 60-70% were for the wars. Now you got 80%+ of the general public against it, 60%+ of Republican voters against it in every poll. So I've never seen anything where they start a war, say it's not a war, it's super unpopular, it's a disaster, and now it's expanding, but it's not a war, but almost no one's buying the lies, and so the Republicans are going to lose in the midterms, and we're three votes away from the war powers, but something tells me we're not going to ever get those votes to pull Trump's authority, which is the constitutional thing to do. I mean, this is just next level. And I don't have a feeling, I know this historically, that once you reach a point of corruption like this, where the system just doesn't care, only 90 days from the midterms, that's 3 months, boys and girls, once the fish starts rotting, it doesn't go back. So at a certain level, we've got to start talking about how do we position for a long-term collapse, and then how do we politically, culturally get positioned to not let that turn into pure communism. So your take, Harrison Smith, and I'll get Kyle Seraph's take on it.
Yeah, it's all deeply, deeply intertwined, as you're pointing out. I think the false dichotomies that are constantly being set up between capitalism and communism, which in our past, it was never capitalism versus communism. It was communism versus God and freedom and liberty. You know, we put "In God We Trust" on the money during the Cold War because that was our division from communism. We didn't put money on our altars. We put God on our money because that was what we were actually fighting for. But yeah, then it comes to the Iran war and you get similar false dichotomies, right? You're either for the Muslims or you're for the righteous Americans fighting this war. This is all absurd. And I think like taking the bird's eye view and zooming out a little bit is the right thing to do. Maybe we'll play it in the first 5 minutes of the next hour or something, but one of the first things I did at InfoWars when I started working there in 2018 was do a report about the year 1913 because it was this turning point year. It was the Federal Reserve, the income tax, but it was also things like the Rockefeller Foundation was started, the ADL was founded, there was the first Aliyah to Israel, the 17th Amendment obviously took America basically from a republic to a democracy. It's where the democratization all really started. And also, Henry Ford invented the assembly line that year. I don't think that's a coincidence because that is the year that sort of the purpose of our culture changed, and this Henry Ford idea of you're going to be a cog in the machine rather than a craftsman or a worksman or a master, workman and that sort. No, you just became an ant in a colony. And so really, I mean, the good news, the silver lining of all of this is that for at least the last 100+ years, there's been this concerted effort to destroy the West, and most people haven't even noticed. Obviously, that's frustrating. We wish people would wake up to the threat, but that's just how powerful the West is. And even now, as the sort of collapse is accelerating, you go walk around, most people have no idea. Yeah, they're maybe making a little less than they'd like to, and food's a little bit more expensive, but they're so comfortable, they're so prosperous that, like, they're fine. And we really need to wake up people to the fact that you may be fine now, but there's going to be a time when you're not fine. And now you have the resources and the time and the ability to fight back, and that's going away very rapidly. Obviously, the result being that all of these socialists and communists are being elected. And I found a sheet out of a magazine from the 1940s. I was at a antique shop and they had this framed magazine. And what it was an advertisement called The Contented Workman. And it was all about how the contented workman has no need to listen to the communists. The contented workman who can be sure of his job and safety and has a wife and kids and is building something, not only will they not go to the communists, they have no reason to, they'll actually fight to preserve what they have. And so it is this sick feedback loop combination of the evils and excesses of capitalism, totally unrestrained, totally manipulated by the government, leading people to believe that we need socialism, we need communism as a consequence. So I put this squarely on the laps of the Republicans, saying, you know, you are to blame for this. You were given an opportunity to get rid of all the H-1B visas, get rid of all of the immigrants, open up the American market to the specifically white, but American born people that have been excluded from the from their industries for the last 10 years at this point. And I've got some stats here, and then I'll pass it off to you. But I mean, the thing is, we have to recognize this is bad. That's the thing that the Republicans and Trump seem unwilling to do. They look at the stock market and go, things are great. The stock market is, I don't know what it represents. It certainly doesn't represent the prosperity or well-being of the average American. So America in the last 55 years, welfare programs have experienced a 900% increase. U.S. national debt has received a 10,500% increase. The foreign-born population is up 450%. Illegal immigration population is up nearly 5,000% at least. Planned demolition and immigration is key to it all. So, yeah, it's extremely frustrating watching this golden opportunity, maybe our last opportunity to rescue America from the fire, is being absolutely squandered on this war for Iran, which just makes absolutely everything worse.
Very, very well said. And again, we're not trying to be negative here for negative sake. We have to admit we have gangrene, and you're right. There's a normalcy bias because this has happened so slowly, but on average, people are waking up a lot more and getting upset, not just here, but around the world. There is a global awakening, so we have that on our side. But you can see it's all accelerating. During any system like this, at the end, it goes a lot quicker. Kyle, do you agree with that statement? And then B, how far into this do you think we are? How much longer can this continue? I mean, I know with the closure of the Strait of Hormuz over the last 150-plus days, it's been closed pretty much the whole time, little trickles here and there. From the economists I've talked to, the numbers I've seen, it looks like it's worse than we thought, actually, with the fertilizer and the growing season not going out, Russia curtailing exports, total exports cut of diesel. Half the farmers just not even ordering fertilizer here because it's too expensive. Not just that it's not available, it's that it's too expensive for the diesel alone, like $5.50 a gallon. This baked in really starts hitting next fall. Which is, right around the corner, fall and winter. I mean, it's almost here. And then by next year, the estimates are $150 a barrel, $160 if it continues. It'll be $120 soon. The strategic oil reserve is basically gone. What do you see in your tea leaves for this? And of course, for the midterms in 3 months.
Yeah, the guys I talked to are saying exactly the same thing, that we're looking at essentially running out of the buffer zone and entering into the real consequence of doing this Iranian war thing, and which was supposed to take 4 days. And somebody described to me the other day that we are back to back to back to back to back Iran war champions at this point, apparently, because Donald Trump has declared victory on any number of days. Actually, one of my buddies just sent me over a cartoon that said, is today a day where we are going to bomb the living hell out of Iran, or is this a day when we're taking a pause for peace? And the person he's talking to in the cartoon says, well, give me a second. Let me check with your stockbroker. And so maybe that's what's happening out there, because it seems like there's people playing the futures markets as well. Kind of broadly speaking, you want to know how deep we are into this? This is how deep we are, I think. And by the way, Harrison, all of the stuff you said was very insightful, I thought. I think the number of things that happened during that year that converge are kind of brilliant. And then the way that it's grown out, it doesn't start immediately. It's a snowball. So it's a small ball. And then eventually you get to the part where, you go titanic leaps. Right now, let's just take a quick pause and breathe and think. We have Donald Trump, who ostensibly is a Republican, in the White House. We have Mike Johnson, who's the Speaker of the House, which means the Republicans have the House of Representatives, right? We have Thune as the majority leader in the Senate, which means Republicans have both houses of Congress. And they have ostensibly a majority in the Supreme Court. So the entire government leans towards favorability towards the agenda that maybe constitutional conservatives would consider to be interesting. And instead of saying, these are the great victories we've won, we had this monumental opportunity. We had a 2024 election, which was a bleed-off valve for potential violence because people were getting towards that mentality of 1776. We're not voting our way out of it. We're going to outsource the revolution to Donald Trump and the party behind Donald Trump. That's what they did. And what are they saying less than 2 years into it? You have to be scared because the communists are going to take over. The communists. Previously, we were talking about socialism and, you know, maybe sort of like broadly speaking, like people who had Marxist ideology, right? Marxist ideology, not avowed communist, capital C. And they are now trotting out a boogeyman of communism under their own watch, not saying, hey, we did this and this is how we've de-weaponized the government so that even if the wrong people get voted in, we fix these structural problems. And here's how we've gone out there and addressed what we saw as weaponized government. And these are the people that were wrong that we've made right and so on. They're not doing that. They're trotting out a boogeyman saying, yeah, we suck. And yeah, we're deeply involved in corruption and we're selling easy access to insiders if people want to do it. And we're profiteering off what's going on. And we started a new war that we promised wouldn't happen. And by the way, Ukraine is still at war, which Donald Trump said he was going to fix day one. And even if you take that as hyperbole, theoretically, there was going to be some conditions that were going to stop that conflict. And that's not. We've just expanded and we have another conflict now in the Middle East and they're starting to touch to the point where Ukrainians are now getting involved in, you know, some of the stuff that's happening in the Strait and they're going after shipping lanes.
Sinking Iranian ships.
So when you get deep into the point where your conflicts have now not just, they've propagated and they are beginning to interact with each other. And the only redeeming quality that the Republicans are going to trot out is that we're not communists. That's what I heard. That's absolutely the speeding, enormous snowball, making huge revolutions because the weight of it is now behind it. So you said, what is the solution? And nobody wants to be a doomsayer. The biggest crime right now to the people on the political right is recognizing the situation as it sits too early. This is a crime that Alex Jones is guilty of forever. It's like, God forbid you see what's coming at you. If you say it too soon, then you're just a pessimist and you're a doomer. And you're interested in there's no joy.
And
in
if
being
you say
right
it when it's actually smashing
thing.
Into you, and if you say it when it's smashing into you, and it's too late, then you're a genius.
Apparently, yeah. Apparently, when there's no solution. And so for me, and this is just my personal thing. This is what I hammer on the morning podcast because I don't actually think that we can vote our way out of this thing. I think we tried to vote our way out of it. I think we tried to vote our way out of it in 2024, and the result is where we're at today. So I see this very strange moment. I see the United States and the people of the United States in 2024 and then going on to today that are still paying attention. They're re-experiencing a moment that we were in the late 1990s. In the late 1990s, we had yet to hit $10 trillion in national debt, and that was considered to be a really big problem. And so whether you look at the art, and by that I mean the music, the movies, the literature that was being written, or even the pop culture, sort of the fantasy novels that were being written, there was this instinct that we're going to probably have to bleed our way out of this. And that's not me advocating for violence. This is me noticing that there was a moment in the late 1990s where the American populace was fed up with corruption. They saw that there basically were two wings to the same bat. The discussion of uniparty was very prevalent. And so we had books like Term Limits, which were written by Vince Flynn, which was about killing off people and trying to get the power back in. Which, by the way, was a very strong point that Donald Trump was making in 1997. You know, the same sort of attitude that we had in America was being relived in 2024. There's other things, the music and the way that music was looking for God. A lot of pop music, if you go back and listen, I've been doing almost exclusively 90s rock in my workout list right now because it just feels comforting to me. And I listened to the art, and what they were talking about was like, what are we doing here? And how are we here? And have we turned away from God? And so there was this moment that happened, you know, 30 years ago. And the only thing that took us away from that moment, which could have ended up either violent or maybe even a peaceful way of overturning what the system looked like, was we had 9/11. And 9/11 was a double down on quadrupling the debt and starting an endless war and saying that we're going to pitch you this thing, we're going to sell you on it. And it was increasing of the surveillance state. And I think Americans got back to that point in 2024 to the point where you have now theoretically our guy, the one that we outsourced the revolution to. There's not going to be violence. There's going to be Donald Trump, and he's going to bring a chainsaw to government. And Elon Musk is going to come in there and use his brilliance to be able to streamline all the problems. And what we got now is the communists are at the door is what they're telling us. Not we've rolled it back and they're generations away from taking over. Like we're one election away from seeing communism in America. That's actually a tacit admission of failure, if you ask me. That's what it looks like. And so
we're back to the idea that you can pitch AI and you can pitch surveillance. And that's what this administration has kind of done. They've, you know, partnered up with different AI companies, and you've got Flock cameras propagating all across the country. And Americans from the left and the right are both going, you know what? Flock you, man. We're not interested in doing that. In fact, we might cut them down. We might go do tens of thousands of dollars worth of property damage. And you're finding people from the conservative right that are leaning towards maybe extrajudicial solutions to things, because it looks like our system is not actually working for them.
I was about to interrupt you and bring up Flock. I see it as healthy that people are waking up and unifying with civil disobedience. The company's been caught lying, but I realize that's just a small piece of it, with all these other systems, the assistance, the phones, the cars with the kill switches, the smart TVs. Yep. This is everywhere. So people always pick one thing that they want to know about, and then now they've already moved on to Axon and all these other systems. But that's overall, right. It's healthy that we've learned to come together. If we can now use this awakening moment to get them fully awake, then we can get legislative systems locally and federally, just like we did with BlackRock, getting Texas to shut down some of their ESG systems. This stuff is also clearly illegal, but how do we make sure it doesn't just go off half-cocked and fails? But then going back to your previous point, I want you to elaborate on this, and then Harrison to comment on it. It's not just saying, oh, we'll protect you from the communists that the big universities and big foundations and big money have been financing as the threat, and you know, allowing the Democrats to run their election fraud in the blue cities, building up their Frankenstein monster. Trump said, oh, look at Morocco, look at Spanish-held Morocco. Look at the Muslims. You better vote for us in the midterms, or that'll happen here. And then meanwhile, the State Department recognized it a few months ago, gave them $40 million in the law, said in the law, this is for you. You control Northern Sahara. You control the Spanish areas. It's yours. Israel said, we're supporting them doing this uprising. So these people were encouraged, brought there by the border police, let through as a threat to Spain. On the other side, you have the communists saying, come here, but they didn't want 80,000 in a day. You know, they wanted to be slow so they can use the foreigners, the Muslims, as an excuse for a police state and a detonator they can activate to riot whenever they want. So Israel and the U.S. used their own system against them, and now Trump turns around while his own State Department is behind this to a great extent, or exacerbating this problem, and says, vote for us. I'll protect you from this. Let us take your rights. Al-Qaeda will get you. Then Trump says 2 weeks ago, we may use Syrian Al-Qaeda to attack and free Lebanon. I mean, and just like Israel founding Hamas, it is totally sick. So now we have, but finally, to your larger point, incredible breakdown, it's time for a false flag. Clearly 9/11, bare minimum, they let it happen. Bare minimum was used to take our rights. Bare minimum. And so now you have Israel saying, boy, a new 9/11 would sure get people behind this unpopular war. And so you look at all the cards of the establishment. We're at a make it or break moment. A global awakening's happening. The perfect thing would be a nuclear false flag. Trump gets assassinated, is blamed on Iran. Something like that. Because it's Israel's too confident. The neocons are too confident. The globalists are too confident. It's like they know something's set up and ready. That's their ace card. You know they've got it. And I believe it's false flag. They can't use the pandemic because that backfired. What's left? Migrant flows, economic collapse, cyber attacks blamed on Iran. We've been predicting that. Now it's happening. Is it real? Is it, you know, is it Iran? I don't think so. Oh, seven states, water supplies hit. Is that prepping us for something bigger? Is it a cyber attack that Klaus Schwab said will make COVID look like a minor inconvenience? Kyle Serafin and then Harrison Smith on false flags.
So 100%, the false flag is the thing that my friends and I have been talking about, people that have been in the national security space. It's the now, it doesn't have to just be that our government or people that are interested in this outcome set it up. And I think you're correct. 9/11, letting it through October 7th style, which is the most plausible answer for them as well. It's like, just because you didn't set it up, you can be quiet and allow it to happen and get some value out of it. It sounds like that was maybe the same thing that happened at Pearl Harbor. So this is not a new routine. It seems like every 30 to 50 years, we go through a thing where people have a certain sense, they have a certain awareness, and there's a great way to get America to be cohesive, to unify. And it's externalizing a threat. Whatever that threat is, it's irrelevant what it is. It actually doesn't matter at all. It can be the Chinese do, you know, global grid takedowns. So we got to get the sons of bitches in China. Or it can be, you know, it's the cave dwellers in Afghanistan. Like, take your pick.
you let something happen that's terrible to the homeland and people all unite and they forget all their differences and their political BS. They surrender a bunch of their liberty. That's pretty much an important piece of it. And what you end up finding, and it doesn't matter whether it's pandemics or whether it's terrorist attacks, I have this instinct, and it's kind of scary to think about. I think we saw it during COVID. Americans actually don't want freedom. Like, deeply, there's a problem with a huge chunk of our population doesn't want freedom. They want freedom from responsibility and consequences. So they're willing to actually sign over an awful lot. And I think that the founding fathers recognized this all the way back. And that's why the average person wasn't even supposed to be a voter, because they just didn't have enough awareness or skin in the game. I said something to one of our congressmen, who is actually, I think, a decent one. And I said, I don't think that it's just that our leaders are insane and doing wild things. And I don't think that we're just doomed, broadly speaking, because of that. I think we have an electorate that is deeply uneducated. And also, they're not interested. They're still going to Costco. They're still ordering things from Netflix.
Well, I was about
they're
saying, to say,
I've got a problem with Bud Light, but they're still going to order a Bud Light at work or when they go to a bar.
It is a systemic political, cultural, economic illiteracy is like the stagnant pond that lets the amoebas and the leeches grow. Incredibly well said. We got Victor Boot coming up. I'm going to co-interview him with Harrison Smith. I want Harrison to be able to comment on this. But how do people find your podcast and everything you do, Kyle Serafin?
Yeah, check out KyleSerafinShow.com. That'll take you to our Spotify link. Today's show, I think, was a good reminder for people if they were interested. How many of you guys have forgotten the things that went on during COVID? And you remember the broad strokes of it, but I think they actually count on us being like human goldfish and dumping this stuff. The fact that it's back in the news with Anthony Fauci, check out today's show if you guys are interested in kind of a rehash, some of the things that went on for people from Aaron Rodgers to me, to what you guys experienced, and then what people experienced in their own life as nurses and doctors and truck drivers and just regular people trying to live their life. You know, we had this moment come up, and I think a lot of people are trying to not just do, they haven't just done sort of like amnesty for what happened over the last couple of years. And we haven't had any accountability, that's for certain. What we've had is sort of amnesia, and that leads to some really dangerous outcomes. So it's a good place people can check it out, KyleSerafinShow.com.
All right, thank you. KyleSerafinShow.com. Thank you, Kyle. All right. Victor Boot's coming on. Wow. This is going to be important on the wars. So much more. Harrison Smith, we're going to go to break. We're going to come back in the first five before he joins us. He's going to give us his take on what we all just talked about. But remember, I'm supported by you. We want to expand this network, AlexJonesLive.com. You fund us. You will see it built. More hosts, more crew, more reporters. We need your support, plus the products are insanely good. We extended the sale until midnight tonight, and then it is completely over. They extended it 2 days because I've been so busy on new sales. Up to 50% off on the supplements, ultramethylene red, ultimate power, 10-hour clean energy, even better than Turbo Force. That sale's about to end. Widest selection of Patriot apparel. And now the online pharmacy, 1776RX.health, 1776RX.health. You can get the Mebenzidol with the ivermectin. You don't know what Mebenzidol does? Look up what it does in studies, not just antiparasitic. If you're smart, use your head. Get pharmaceutical grade. These is a combo. You owe it to yourself. Get it now at 1776RX.health. And hour number three with Victor Boot, Harrison Smith, and more. Straight ahead. Stay with us.
Planet Earth, filter your water. Stop turning my frog friends gay. This I command.
The AlexJonesStore.com. Fight the globalist takeover now.
A scarlet martini before breakfast? You minx. Are you trying to outdo me in corruption? Or shall we make it a team effort?
Of course not, darling. This is Methylene Red from the AlexJonesStore.com.
The Ultramethylene Red, madame. Bold, refined, and unapologetically potent. It optimizes cellular energy at the deepest level, delivers razor-sharp cognition, and ignites a warm, invigorating rush that spread through every vein.
This sword has tasted blood, and it will taste more.
Attack! Ha!
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.
We are now into hour number three. Victor Boot is an international businessman, former political president of the United States, former soldier, and he's an elected official in Russia. And I could not have a better guest on today to discuss where the world is. Harrison Smith is riding shotgun with us. 400-plus radio stations that pick us up do not carry the first 5 minutes, but we are on, obviously, on X and on Rumble at Real Alex Jones and rumble.com/The Alex Jones Show Live and many other system. So I just wanted to get Victor Boot to give us a prelude on what he wants to get into in this hour with us. Obviously, Trump, for the 50-plus time, has declared victory and says we have a peace deal. Israel is not letting us out of this conflict. You've got mass insider trading going on, confirmed at the White House on these announcements. You have major escalations in the Ukraine war. And it's now admitted by mainline analysts that this is now a new world war and the conflicts have merged with Ukraine now attacking Iranian ships. Victor Boot, you're on X at Real Victor Boot. People should follow you there. Thanks for joining us. Please give us a synopsis of what you think we should know.
Well, as you're right, we are basically, you know, slow sleep walking into the huge conflict, which is, if even a year ago, it was still kind of the manageable. There is was a certain, I would say, understanding from the different parties, certain red lines, but they all been crossed many, many times, especially when the Trump, as you said, was manipulated by Israelis and eventually jumped into this conflict with Iran. Now, this caused, first of all, as now everybody understands very, very deeply, and I would say everybody feels it, it's affect all population on the planet because of the rising fuel cost, because of the disruption of the supply chain, of the shortage of fertilizer, and as a background and eventually burning one, Ukrainian conflict. And in this Ukrainian conflict, there is also a lot which happened since 22nd of past month of July, Russia decided to shut down the Ukrainian only seaports at Black Sea. On the region of Odessa, there is three bigger ports. Seeing that the Russian army succeeded to attack all ships which was docked there or going there or trying to depart from there. At the same time, Ukrainian start also basically attacking anything they can find in the Black Sea. Just yesterday night, they hit the Turkish vessel, Turkish ship, container ship, which is bringing produce to the Russia, which is now Turkey have to decide. They can't sit anymore on defense. By one hand, they want to have a business with Russia. By other hand, they want also to make business selling arms and supporting Ukraine as a NATO member. So this definitely will affect them too. At the same time, unpredictable situation going within the Ukraine with all the shuffle of the heads of the army, heads of the intelligence, minister of defense, scandals with the corruption, scandal which is Zelensky let himself, you know, into the problem with the Poland. Now, plus on top of it, the weather condition in the Europe, extremely hot summer with the heat wave, which basically for the first time for more than 120 years make the Danube River as a main source for the Central and Eastern Europe for supply of all materials, basically go to the very low levels, which force two nuclear power stations to shut down in Hungary and Romania, which is adds, of course, problems. See, at the same time, even the French harvest this year of the grain also would be significantly reduced. Plus, we have, of course, the crisis of immigration in the Spain enclave and the...
Victor, we've got to go to break. Back in 60 seconds. Stay with us. Ladies and gentlemen, Bigley has launched an online pharmacy, 1776rx.health. It's one product we're launching with, my decision, and that is ivermectin with benzidol, both powerful, really good anti-parasitics. It doesn't just get the big worms and all the crap that's out there. It's amoebas, it's microplasms. It is so important. These two together, I mean, ivermectin is a Nobel Prize winning for this, but benzidol is the big one. And folks, it isn't just parasites. Just search benzidol studies. Just put that into a search engine and you'll see congressional hearings. You'll see top scientists. You'll see all the studies on what else it does that they don't want you to know about. It's dramatic. So, and you won't know if you had any type of parasitical deal or whatever until you've done this. And a lot of people went there yesterday. A lot of people got it. Very smart move. 1776rx.health.
Resistance to tyrants is obedience to God. It's Alex Jones.
Well, we could not have a better geopolitical analyst on than Victor Boot, and he's very gracious to give us interviews. You don't see him do a lot of interviews, but he does join us. He's an elected official in Russia and a former international businessman and obviously a former political prisoner for over 10 years here in the United States. Riding shotgun with me is Harrison Smith. I'll be back tomorrow. And I'm going to hand the baton over here in a few minutes. But for stations who just joined us, Victor in the last segment talked about the domino effect. Mainline analysts now saying this is a new world war. The Ukraine-NATO war has now merged with the Iran war. And that's that 500-mile sector there. And you now have the State Department 2 months ago getting $40 million passed by Congress. That was just one of the spending packages. And that being given to Morocco, which means the country of the Moors, who previously conquered Spain, and the Crusades started by kicking them out, took hundreds of years to do that. You saw Israel saying, we're going to get you, Spain, for not supporting Midnight Hammer last year with B-2 bombers out of Spain. And then now the war of the last 157 days. And so Israel took credit for that and said, finish the job of the Moroccans. And so now when the fertilizer that's already been curtailed, when that hits now in the fall and the winter and next year, you're going to see record level migrant flows there. Again, you have Ukraine hitting a Turkish ship in the Black Sea that's supplying them weapons. Totally insane. A snake eating its tail. You have Victor listing all of this. You now have the Ukrainians going after Iranian ships. So this is all escalating completely out of control. You have Saudi Arabia saying you need to do a deal and end this now. And then you've got generals on TV, on Fox saying, well, we've got to open the strait. The Iranians won't open it. Well, the Iranians have said every time you make a deal, you go back on it. So we might as well just press this all the way through. We believe we have the upper hand with the strait being closed because you won't abide by any deal we do. And you have Trump for the 50 plus times saying, you know, we have a deal. We're talking, pulling back an attack. Trump is literally trapped in this. It's now devastating the economy. We're 90 days from the midterms. And I'm here to tell you, you heard Kyle Serafin last hour, very smart, former counterterrorism agent, the FBI, talking to people he knows high level in the CIA, saying they believe we're about to see a false flag. If you look at everything, either a huge cyber attack, a nuke, kill Trump, blame Iran. When you see the arrogance of the Israelis and the neocons, this is a real arrogance. They're not putting on a show. They've got something really nasty planned. So we need to look at that and talk about that. That's just the next move. It's the ace card, the ace of spades. And we need to talk about any possible off ramps. Most analysts I talk to say there is no off ramps now. Well, then this leads into further escalation on the escalation ladder and into total war. So we've basically entered the ice field. We've already hit a few icebergs. Now we're about to hit the big one. If we don't reverse engines and get the hell out of here, even if we had proper leadership, I don't know this can be reversed now because the Iranians are locked in and believing it's existential, and they're not going to give up. Even mainline analysts in the New York Times are saying that we have had a strategic defeat. Trump is humiliated, and so we're out of munitions. And so now he's talking about decapitation weapons. I don't know if that means space-based meteor guns, which we do have, which is just DU bombs that are non-explosive but are kinetic, equivalent of tactical nuclear weapons. If the United States moves into that, it'll be probably misread as nuclear weapons. And then you've got Pakistan threatening to nuke Israel, North Korea threatening to nuke Israel. If anybody nukes Iran, you have the pundits that are basically Netanyahu's mouth calling for ground war. When I flew out on this workcation, I've never seen the airport so full of military who I guess were told to not fly in uniform. They normally do. They all had their backpacks and their patches. I've never seen so much military. They were all going to the Middle East. So there's that piece of data. I want to get expanded analysis with these data points from Victor Boot and have Harrison Smith guide us through this and then look at what we face on the best case scenario, which is bad, which the worst case scenario, total global nuclear war. I can tell you it's not just elites like Peter Thiel moving to Argentina. It is even in the news that a lot of the ultra-rich are actually moving out of CONUS. They're not even staying most of the time in CONUS. That is not a good sign when the elites are evacuating. So Victor Boot, people can find you on X at Real Victor Boot. Thank you so much for being here and giving us your analysis. I'm going to turn the baton over to Harrison Smith and you. Thank you.
Yeah.
Well, again, let's. Okay. Go ahead, please. Sorry. Go ahead.
I wanted to start because this is the rumor that's been spreading today, and I would love your insight on it. It says Zelensky offers ceasefire along front line as Russia keeps advancing. So there are rumors that Zelensky is now looking for a ceasefire. Do you know if there's any legitimacy to that?
Sure. Sure. He publicly, you know, announced his proposal to declare an aerial, you know, ceasefire, not to attack, deep strike inside Russia. The same true that Russia is supposed to refrain from attacking Ukraine. But look, Russia did not start that. Zelensky exactly 40 days ago declared his, you know, operation, which supposed as a main target to force Russia into the negotiation table and accept this agreed conditions, which is a globalist together with the Zelensky, you know, so hardly tried to sell to Trump during the White House visit because he tried to say, look, we're attacking them deep inside. We prepared everything. Unfortunately, all these plans have failed. First of all, this was strategically very well planned. They tried to, again, using what they did with the spider web operation last year, try to attack our, you know, strategic nuclear bombers, sensitive military sites. They send a lot of the equipment into the Russia. They smuggle the drones, smuggle the weaponry, you know, put a very big web of their agents to be ready and attack simultaneously. Luckily enough, our, you know, counterintelligence was able to get these signals at the proper time, follow them all through, and basically prevent all this terrorist attack within the Russia. They attempt also to cut off the oil supply to Crimea and to destroy and create a fuel crisis in Russia is also didn't work. Just to report you about 2 weeks ago, this crisis was over, and now almost everywhere all restriction on the gas and diesel in all gas stations are also lifted. There is no any more problem with this. So government was able to regroup uproot and to rearrange production of these fuels inside the Russia. Same true happened with their so-called plan to counter-offensive on Crimea and isolate Crimea, create their hunger, create their exodus of population, and definitely sabotage the season for the tourists. What they did, they try using the American supply drones, like a Hornet, to attack the routes, terrestrial routes to the Crimea, where the fuel was, basically transported. About 3 weeks ago, they've been able basically to reduce from daily quantity of the trucks, what was about 12,000 up to the 800. Right now, just, several days ago, the daily traffic was back to around 11,000 of the truck. Army moved enough equipment to intercept majority of the drones. Yes, sometimes they're able to break through, but now at least everything was stabilized. At the same time, as I said, Russia succeeded to shut down the Black Sea ports of Ukraine. Think of this, 80% of their energy is destroyed, over 400 trucks for their railroads also destroyed. They succeeded in many areas, start to attacking their fueling gas station, which their army are using. And in return, Ukrainians didn't find any better than try to, attack the logistic centers of Russian equivalent of the Azov. Amazon, which you have, this is a marketplace where you can buy almost everything. Azon. We're talking about Wildberries. There is American Amazon, and they already burned, on my count, something like 6 or 7 their logistic centers on different sites. And basically this hurting a poor normal people, business people who having their products or goods in these platforms to sell to the public. Of course, there is a problem, but we will figure out the solution. Especially we need, of course, air defense to protect those centers too. And as a return, Ukrainians got that Russia now will smash all their anything related to the any logistic centers. So basically, Ukraine lost their war from point of view. If you look purely, and do the math, there is nothing left in Ukraine as infrastructure to sustain this war. There is nothing left, especially since the attempts of these terrorist attacks on the children. By the way, just yesterday, Ukrainian drones again hit the beach in the Black Sea resort near the Sochi, in Galanjik, nearby, killing 7. Among the 7 was 3 kids on the beach. And this drone, perfectly knowing that there is no any military targets on this beach, intentionally hitting the people on the beach. So this is a purely war crime, but now we're sick and tired already to tell. And believe me, the population in Russia just, demanding our president and our, military leadership to start really hitting them hard and finish this conflict, because there is no way to negotiate with Zelensky. And all the proposal of Zelensky
and Victor, just to ask a question since you're going there. Clearly, Ukraine and NATO are trying to hit civilian targets, like beaches and girls' schools girls in a soccer bus, to get Russia to overreact. But at a certain point, if Ukraine's basically already lost, what is the point of that? What is NATO thinking that if Russia invades even more, that will give NATO the political support to go directly to war when no one wants to be drafted? The war is 80%+, as you know, in the U.S. and in Europe, unpopular. I see the signs that Zelensky's collapsing. You have the head of the Azov battalion meeting with Laura Loomer and the president meeting with her. Mm-hmm. They're now reduced to that level where she says there's no Nazis in Ukraine and other just bizarre idiocy. So I'm smelling public collapse. I'm seeing real signs of it, not just militarily. So out of all of that, then, what does NATO do? Or could we actually, see Zelensky flee? I mean, what would be are there any rays of hope here? And then I'm glad he brought up Russia and Ukraine. That's important, Harrison. But before he goes, I do want to look at the big domino effect globally and with the State Department in Israel using the Muslim migrants in Morocco, and because Vicker's been predicting that and where he sees that going. Please continue.
Well, yes, there is many points, because looks like we're living in this period where it's compounding effect, all happening simultaneously. For normal person, looks like a kind of the crazy creep show. We couldn't figure out what it does it means. We overloaded with all happening at the same time. We sick and tired from, position of what's going on with the position of the Trump. He flipping, maybe sometimes couple times a day easily. Whether the he win, as you said, 48th or 49th time in a row, Iran war, then threatening again to decapitate them. At the end, as you said, he runs out of option. He can't find a ramp off, and Israeli just, there happily, eating popcorn and watching the show going further. For them, this is a dream. America does all the job they want, and when the America exhausted, Israeli will rule America. Basically, this is their plan, and through America, they want to rule the world. Now, the look of this, this very clever move by Israelis. They want to get the Arab population of the nearby, Gaza Strip, part of Syria, part of the Lebanon, to vacate the Arab population. And, do this area for the greater Israel project. How they going to do? Well, we need to create that they're going to go somewhere. So why not to create a scenario where they will be going to Spain? Because Europe, for many Arabs and for many, especially Africans, is a dream destination because of the social welfare. So basically think of the welfare queens in the United States, put this on steroids, then you have European welfare system, and of course these migrants are will going to Europe, especially to such countries like Finland, Nordic countries, Sweden, Norway is their dream destination, and of course Britain, because there is enclaves where even government can't control the small towns in England because the Sharia police ruling there. So this is basically situation. Plus you put on climate change crisis, shortage of food, disruption of the fuel supplies, and Europe is still trying to manage and figure out what kind of the sanction package they can put on Russia, despite now the Russia is only source left for them of available LNG supplies, and they're still buying it, despite they forbid themselves to buy it. So I just wondering, when our government will say, hey, now we will put sanction in this situation, we will not allow any Russian energy to go to Europe, just to make sure that they collapse, especially when they have all their many nuclear power stations out of commission because water level on Danube River too low to cool the reactors. So this is a perfect storm. And I'm honestly can predict that the globalists they are in the limbo. They understand their plans are failing. The attempts to stage the global war going wrong way. Trump, being their tool or being their stooge, try to make as much money by manipulating markets, and all his, close circle become filter rich just by, trading with the insider information. And apparently now it's a new norm. I guess, 20 years ago, would be at least several prosecution, and the, at least, public would be, screaming and yelling, and it's at least public outcry will be how it's even possible. But now apparently it's a new norm, and looks like we really need kind of the divine intervention to stop this, what's happening, because domino effect now start already, putting one stone after another stone, and it's only a matter of the speed when we all, wake up to the reality. Oh gosh, how happened. And I guess, in my opinion, it worse than the proper, I would say, World War III. At least if there is a World War III on the classic level, we know who is the warring sides, what they demanding. At least there is a sober, proper government. At least there is a predictable, you know, people in charge who are responsible and who definitely will act on their best nation interest. Here we see appearance of the class of the, it's even difficult to characterize. Those leaders, especially in Europe, who they are they, you know, really French, German, or I would say English? I guess no. They are, you know, result and product of the globalist who groomed them for so many years, and they will do whatever the, their, you know, puppet master will do. Basically, they will sacrifice their own population. And we see the example of Ukraine, how the Ukrainian president have no any regards or any thought what will happen with his country in the future. Right now, basically, Ukraine could not exist any more. They destroyed their economical basis. They lost their export potential. And most important, it's the people. And he managed to depopulate the Ukraine. And there is also conspiracy that eventually, if something goes wrong in Israel, basically new Israel would be in Ukraine. Especially don't forget that the Lubavitch Hasids and the, you know, where the Chabad sect of the Judaism coming, it's exactly in center of Ukraine, near the Uman region.
Yeah, and you can see, you know, big tourism events where all the pilgrims go, and it's this war-torn country, but they're having a big celebration and blocking off parts of the entire country so that only the Jews that are visiting can visit there, and the Ukrainians themselves are kept out. We have more videos every single day of Ukrainians getting thrown into vans and sent to the front line, while you've got videos of Indians and sub-Saharan Africans celebrating their new life in Ukraine as immigrants. So, yeah, a very deliberate and obvious replacement of the population through war. Utterly sickening, but that's actually what's happening. To me, the whole thing just reeks of desperation. Ukraine's attacks against civilians in Russia reeks of desperation. Even Ukraine getting involved in the Iran war reeks of desperation in the Iran war. Seems like the Trump administration is trying to, you know, figure out. In fact, the headline today is that the U.S. military is seeking creative and unconventional ideas to fight Iran. It seems like maybe getting Ukraine was one of these unconventional ideas because they don't know where else to turn. And so it seems like as it turns into World War III at the same time, that's only happening because on all of these fronts, the powers that be, the globalists, are losing face and are sort of just desperately lashing out for whatever they can do.
You're absolutely right. But, you know, the story when Ukraine decided to hit the Iranian ship in Caspian Sea is actually Zelensky tried himself to be a buddy, because, look, Europe didn't join United States in attacking Iran. So Ukraine offered its services, telling, hey, we can hit Iranians. But when Zelensky came to White House, they've been forced, and the Minister of the Foreign Affairs, Sibiga, was forced to call Iranians, excuse, and offer compensation and to de-escalate, because Iranians, they're not joking. They would be, they've been ready to start hitting Ukraine hard. Unfortunately, it's not happened, but I guess with this kind of the behavior, I would not, exclude the possibility that Iran will join the Russian efforts to finish situation in Ukraine with the globalists, because now Iran and Russia, basically, we are fighting the same globalist, you know, cabal, who are trying to impose and, their control over the lives of the people who don't want to be controlled by them.
Right.
And as for the Iran, for Russia, it's also existential conflict. We know perfectly well that the globalists will not let us alone or leave us alone, whether they demanding, they said, oh, Putin is bad, we want a regime change. Well, they want not only to dismember Russia on 35 or 36, you know, small kingdoms and make them fight among them, but they want us depopulate the way they depopulating Ukraine. And you're absolutely right. Right now in India, the most popular advertisement is immigration to Ukraine. They are trying to recruit as much Indians to resettle in Ukraine because the local population basically finished.
Yeah, it's total depopulation. You know, I'm sorry, Victor, we got to go to a quick commercial break. We'll be back in just a few minutes with Victor Boot.
Come on now, Bandit. We got to get this truck on the road.
Are we gonna do what they say can't be done?
Let's get a move on!
We've got a long way to go, and a short time to get there. I'm Eastbound and Bando Bandit Run. Keep your foot hard on the pedal, some never mind it breaks. Let it all hang out, cause we got a run to make. The boys are thirsty in Atlanta, and there's beer in Texarkana. And we'll bring it back no matter what it takes. Eastbound and down. We gonna do what they say can't be done. We've got a long way to go and a short time to get there. I'm Eastbound, just watch old Bandit Run.
We have to fight for our sovereignty. We have to fight to protect, again, what God gave us, which, I mean, our health is one of the biggest things. We're all at this point middle-aged. We're trying to have families. And I think with the transhumanist agenda, there is a little bit of a psyop afoot.
Where, oh, I've said that the other day when I had you guys coming on. I said, we're doing something about what we can take control of. Mm. And then the last few years, Joe Rogan, one time at dinner, goes, about 3 years ago, you're fat, your own enemy. He does that to guests. He was like Theo Vaughn, too. Get off that Prozac, you idiot. And people were mad at him. That's tough love Joe does. And he's there with Sean Johnson, the Navy SEAL guy that I'd known for years, wasn't really friends. Sean goes, fine, I'll train you. I'll meet you every morning. And I said, all right, let's do it. And then I lost like 70 pounds, and I kind of halfway cut back and gained back 10. But now I'm back to where I was. I'm going to go even lower. But the whole point is that Joe goes, you know, you're your own worst enemy. You think the globalists are going to kill you. You're killing yourself. And so that's where Masterpiece comes in. That's where doing all this comes in. I mean, this is real, folks. Methylene Blue works. Bovine colostrum works. This, getmasterpiece.com. The Masterpiece is unbelievable.
We are at a crossroads with the survival of the human species. And the people that have all the resources and all have spelled that out very clearly to us. And the things that they are putting inside of our body to complete that mission. You got to get out. The fact of the matter is, zeolite, which is one of the main ingredients of Masterpiece, has been proven in all ways to remove every toxin that it's looked at grabbing. It performs. That's why it's called the Master Binder.
But yours is different.
It's completely different.
Because it doesn't just pull stuff. It brings in the key sea minerals.
Yes, absolutely. So any way that you would actually test Masterpiece out, which would be like its pH, its molecular composition, its molecular ratio, if it's isotonic and whatnot, it is identical to blood plasma. You're talking about marine plasma, sea plasma, minerals. It is the same molecular composition of as your blood profile. And so why does that matter? Blood is life. When you are grabbing the problem with our bodies, with the toxins in there, which is disrupting how our bodies perform on every level, it's literally made our bodies mineral deficient. Toxins take the place of minerals. So when the Masterpiece is carrying in minerals, when it takes a toxin, it's giving the perfect minerals right there at that time. That's why everyone that looks at the testing, whether it's our hair tissue mineral analysis practitioners, our blood testers, which we've done three different independent third-party labs doing different blood testing, they've never seen results like
this. Yeah, so regular zeolite just pulls out bad stuff. It doesn't replace it. This is zeolite with a good thing, pulls out bad, it goes bloop, good.
Yeah. Our bodies are magical if you get the poisons out.
Reality starts here. AlexJonesLive.com. Share the link. Spread the word. Days, weeks, and even years ahead of the news cycle. AlexJonesLive.com is tomorrow's news today.
Discover trends and global developments years before they happen, right here on The Alex Jones Show.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. This is The Alex Jones Show. You can find us at alexjoneslive.com. Support us at thealexjonesstore.com. I'm Harrison Smith, sitting in for Alex as we talk to Victor Boot. Of course, has incredible insight into what's going on the world over in these multiple wars that seem to be coagulating into a single massive conflict, sort of dominating the center of the planet. But there's also these diplomatic tendrils that string out, like the invasion of Morocco, which, of course, is sort of a big diplomatic game, trying to get concessions from Spain by putting pressure on sort of a weak spot of theirs. Can you lend some light into the way that diplomacy is utilized like this? My reading of the situation in Morocco is basically Spain kind of has this, it has a little bit of an issue with these exclaves in Africa, but it's never been that big of a hot button issue. And so Israel and America want to sort of put pressure on that so that they can then turn around to Spain and say, hey, we can turn off this pressure if you simply come along with us and give us weapons and give us, you know, platforms. But people have trouble seeing the diplomatic play happening. They're just looking at what's happening on the ground. Can you try to explain some of that diplomatic maneuvering that's going on in the high levels?
Well, unfortunately, the classical diplomacy, as we know, is basically dead, and it was killed by the, you know, several last administration, starting with the first Trump ones, where now we see there is no anymore, you know, classical, I would say, professionals who are dealing with the foreign relation. You know, Trump choose to send not his Secretary of State, or he's sending basically his friends to negotiate on the business terms any deal. And unfortunately, now we have, when the, you know, Trump understanding or his famous art of the deal, he trying to turn art of the diplomacy. And unfortunately, it's not working. What's happened with the Spain, because look, basically Spain have several enclaves. A part of the Ceuta, they have another ones. And basically, they've been doing fine because they are not part of the Schengen, and any Moroccan who cross there, they can easily go into the mainland Spain only through the immigration and passport control. Right. Now, this crisis basically started when the Spanish court, you know, took a decision where they said, well, any migrant or any, you know, alien inside the territory of Spain cannot be easily deported. He have a right for all the due process.
Yep.
And this unfortunately caused a, you know, this, you know, a stampede when, of course, it was also orchestrated and the Israelis put a lot of the, you know, fuel on this fire just to make sure and little bit, you know, give a I would say better punish the Spain for their anti-Israel position when the Spain was openly government criticizing Israel what was happening on the Gaza with the basically genocide of Palestinians. And this, of course, you know, this as a result of their, you know, manipulation, because don't forget that the Israelis and Moroccans has the intelligence ties for quite a time. They have a good understanding. So this was easy on making for them. But as I said, look, what's happening with this replacement, so for Israelis, why they want to do this, they want to create a kind of the pump which will suck the Arab population out of the area around the Israel to vacate the territory to create a greater Israel project. And they need to create some attractive points where the Palestinians or other, you know, Muslims can go, and it's eventually Europe. So at the same time, look, the globalists used Ukraine for the past, I would say, 12 years as a playground for their experiment. What we're going to do? And unfortunately, this experiment for many leaders in Europe become very attractive. Think of this. How you remain in power? Well, if you are declared a war or you're in a martial law, then you forget about election. Right. Then you create a system that all foreign aid for your war effort can be recycled. At least half, or maybe, you know, less than half, are given back as a payback. then you are corrupting all the leaders who are helping you. And this is how the Zelensky made his way up on this ladder. And he literally became one of the unofficial, Don Corleone, mafia boss of the Europe. Because he corrupted the leaders, he paid them cash, he provided them all necessary, whatever drugs, whatever underage kids for their, creep desires. Mm-hmm. And so he has control over them. So it's basically Epstein reborn on steroids. And this is a big problem because now, as in Ukraine, they also watch very carefully how he controls his opposition. Basically, Zelensky in Ukraine succeeded to establish fully police state where no any dissents are tolerated. All the critics are killed or expelled out of the country. People are scared to openly say what they think. We know what this Bussification, where they put his special squads hunting the old man and sending them to the front line. So any Ukrainian man on the able age on the street can be caught, sent to the front line and be dead within, altogether it takes less than 72 hours. How you think the population are tolerating it? Because his oppressive mechanism are so perfect. So he's, secret police. He's, the squads who are grabbing all people all around. So, so perfectly working, nobody even able to open their mouths. Right. And only when the West or their handler says, oh, we allowed some protest because you did something wrong against the ex-minister of defense, they allowed some protest and there is no hunting squads for those protesters on the street. At the same time, basically, if you look on all statistics, as I said, Ukraine has no future. There is no economical ground. And most important, there is no population anymore.
And you look
just
at the
simple figures from on collapse of Soviet Union, Ukraine had at least 52 million of population. Right now, over 30 years, later of the collapse of Soviet Union, on different statistics, I saw estimation from 25 to 21 million population. And it's accordingly, estimation through the SIM cards, of the cell phone operators, of the certain other, criteria, definitely not official statistics. And this is a huge, basically, it's a genocide of Ukrainian population, which done not by foreign enemy, by own government, whom Ukrainians are elected. And this is basically most biggest, enigma, I would say, phenomena for the past maybe 100 years. This is maybe first time in history when we see how the elected democratically leader, president of the country, committing, suicide with its own country.
Yeah, absolutely. And then it's the same thing going on in the rest of Western Europe. They would love to be at war because it just accelerates everything they're already doing. They're already putting in, censorship Correct. And chat controls and stuff. Well, censorship takes on a whole nother level when they're not just spreading disinformation, they're spreading enemy propaganda. So now it has the color of war. So, you can't just shut it down. You shut it all down, which is exactly what Zelensky did. Shut down all the opposing political parties, shut down all of the opposing political news outlets. I think you're exactly right. He's showing them sort of the blueprint and they're following it. I mean, Germany's just, I'm not sure if they implemented it or not, but they were talking about basically closing their borders to any German men who are of draft age. So if you were 18 to 50 in Germany, you had to get permission to leave because they want to draft you and kill you. And you said it at the end of the last segment that this is all about control. They want to control people that they don't already control. And if they try to control them and the people don't want to be controlled, then they get liquidated. They get taken out and replaced with people who are more amenable to the top-down control. It's so sick and it's so in your face. And yet the media here in America, I mean, people have no idea that this is going on. To some degree, our audience and people who watch us are aware of what Ukraine was even before the war, the basically world headquarters for human trafficking and underage sex slavery. I mean, Ukraine was It's very well known for that. And it's only, of course, increased. So when you say 52 to 20 to 25, how many of those have fled Ukraine? And how many of those have died in your estimation? Because that, I mean, that is one of the biggest, you know, concentrated genocides the world has ever seen. If you're talking 20 million people, how many of them have fled? Not that it matters to the future of Ukraine, but I mean, those numbers are staggering.
Well, accordingly, what I remember from the figures I just stumbled across, about 5 million Ukrainians basically ends up in Russia, who are decided when the coup happens, who moved late, later on, who try to bring their relatives, and there is many of them here. They integrated, they're working. There is no issue with them because they basically this is a Russian people. We have no difference, you know, the way we think, the way we, you know, speak, it's, we are the same people. Now, about 7 million of them eventually somewhere in Europe, okay? So we're talking about already 13 million. Mm-hmm. And plus, there is also, I would say, long-standing immigration because Ukrainian guest arbiters or guest workers was a very well-known phenomenon way before. They've been widely used in all European countries, France, Italy, Spain, Portugal, eventually because they went to look where they can, earn some money or more money that they can earn in Ukraine. So total, that's becoming maybe for, another 20 millions plus reduction of the birth rates. Right now, the birth rates in Ukraine collapse, like worse in the world. Because of the, this government completely destroyed and neglected healthcare. Of course, there is a war. Of course, there is a shortages of electricity, of the heat in the winter. And apparently now there is a problem. You know, Ukrainians discussing that they need to come to the at least ceasefire or peace agreement before the winter kicks in because they understand they can't survive another winter because nothing is functioning. And this was destroyed as a answer or I would say, response action of Russian side for what they tried to hit, in Russia. We didn't start the infrastructure war. If you remember, it was, the West was puzzled why the Russia didn't, from the first day, didn't destroy the electricity grid, bridges, water supply, name it. That's why Russia declared not the all-out war, but special military operation. They tried to only, bring and destroy military targets. And right now, majority of the targets are hit in, especially Kyiv, are basically Ukrainian military industrial complex production centers or logistics centers. And since Ukraine ran out of interceptors, and despite Trump promised them license one day, then said, no, I never promised. We can't give Ukraine a license. And we never know where is this interceptor will end up. He absolutely right. The Ukraine become a basically huge black market of the reselling American armaments and the system sophisticated weapons to all over the world. And the security factor and the main product now Ukraine can export. It's not grain. It's not machinery. It's not the agriculture products, dairy or meat. It's basically terror. Mm-hmm. And now they become very good at exporting terror. And believe me, not on the Russian. By the way, very, very interesting facts. You remember we've been talking about call centers where the Ukrainians used to run in Ukraine scamming the Russians. And they've been making a lot of money. There was a huge, social problem in Russia because many ordinary people, including some people I know, been victim of this scamming. They're using that they know very well language. They're trying to pose themselves as agents of the law enforcement, telling that they are now part of certain operations. They need need to do this. I need to, do something. Then somebody else calling said, oh, your, account at the, special program where you deal with government was compromised. The, crooks got access to it. You need to move all your money safely to, withdraw from another account, give to our, special agent, and he will deposit to the safe account. Many people lost their money. Many people lost their property by this. So, this require a lot of the efforts from Russian side to solve it, or at least get somewhat under control.
Right.
Every day on Russian media, there is a basically advertisement warning them, do not answer unknown people, that law enforcement never will call you on phone or messengers, never offering you to participate in this kind of the, undercover operations. But apparently, Ukrainians have been scamming Europeans and Americans in the way more, magnitude than they've been scamming Russians.
Hmm.
So basically, think of the situation. The United States taxpayers, European taxpayers, whatever they can afford, they sent everything to Ukraine. Oh, now it's what total count over, I guess, $500 billion with the B. Whatever support and help was sent to Ukraine during these last 5 years. And how it comes that Ukrainians, apart of recycling and paying back to these corrupt leaders, have been scamming population of those countries who've been basically supporting them.
Yeah.
For me, I couldn't yet wrap my mind around this, situation.
Well, and it sort of all connects, as you were talking about, the Trump administration being so sort of openly corrupt now, selling their influence like this. One of the big things that got Trump elected in the first place was people so infuriated at Joe Biden and his son and the corruption that they were involved in Ukraine. So it becomes this black hole of corruption and that seemingly Trump is having a great time in and taking advantage of himself now. Totally infuriating to anybody that was actually watching this and was genuinely upset at the way that, it was a lot of people. It was the Bidens, it was the Pelosi's, it was the Romney's. I mean, a lot of them had their fingers in the Ukraine pie there, getting their own, which I was upset at that because it's corruption. I'm upset that Trump is doing it because it's corruption. And it's sad to see him go down this road. I mean, it really does feel like they are just looting everything they can before they shut it down. Kind of like a big investment company will buy a small company and just loot it for everything and then bankruptcy. I mean, that seems like what's happening here, not just with Ukraine, but with all of Europe. They're trying to get the most out of it that they can before just collapsing the whole thing. And we know that Goldman Sachs and BlackRock, I mean, they literally have agreements with the Ukrainian government to rebuild afterwards. So, I mean, they're seeing this as a giant piggy bank, I guess. How does Russia and Iran maintain, I have to admit, they're so patient. And, I wish I wasn't saying this because I'm an American. I wish I could support, my country's actions totally unabashedly, but that's just not the case. And right now I look at the way Iran and Russia, they seem to only ever respond when Ukraine starts bombing their infrastructure, Russia responds in kind. I mean, that strategic sort of patience has paid off and has been very valuable because of the success that they're having now. But that can't be easy to sell to the Russian people, who are probably getting a little bit impatient with the way things are going. Can you talk a little bit about that, about the usefulness of sort of the strategic calm that seems to come out of Iran and Russia?
Well, the Russian leadership got the dilemma whether they're going to declare all-out war or declare special military operation. Well, special military operation basically allowed, Russian society function as normal. Basically, I would say till the, last 6 months, majority of the country has no changes in their lifestyle. Yes, there is was a certain sanctions, certain, difficulties to get the products you've been used to because European manufacturers, American manufacturers would not supply or shut down their offices and go. But then 6 months, they're basically with the help. And of course, not only help, but I would say, with the Ukraine was only used as a cover, start attacking deep inside the Russia. Of course, the population also feel the pressure, and the many want way more, you know, not only reaction or answers, but they want decisive, you know, final blow to the Ukraine to finish this war. And whatever happens, happen, then we will deal later with the, you know, how we construct what we do with this territory. But for us, this is issue of national security. We can't just leave or sit on the table with Zelensky or any other, because we perfectly know they will just buy the time to rearm, regroup, and continue this war. And it's, for globalists, is ideal idea. It's ideal situation. As, you know, late Lindsey Graham would say, it's the best investment America did. You know, right. We know, Ukrainians basically, you know, for cheap, you know, sacrificing their own lives to do what we want to do, which means to inflict to Russia strategic defeat. Apparently it doesn't work. They run out of option. They're running out of the ammunition. And still, Europeans forget one, and America, one very important factor. Russia, in comparison to Iran, is a nuclear power, and we have a very modern, sophisticated arsenal of the strategic nuclear weapons, including hypersonic means of delivery, which is United States still only on process of testing. It's already our army have them on their combat duties. So, of course, now in this light, strategic patience of our leadership, I would say it's wisdom. Of course, it's come with the cost, but this is maybe position of adult in this daycare where all the kids become, you know, crazy when they've got the credit card and went to order whatever they want to order. But when the reckoning day coming, who going to pay the price? Population of these countries. And here we are in the era of developed democracies, freedoms, coming to very strange situation when apparently democracy dying as we speak. I think the democracy as we used to and know it in the West are basically dead. We need to declare that they officially dead and arrange for the funerals. What would be post-democracy world? We don't know. But look how it's going with the election, even in the United States, with the preparation of, in Europe, with the, all the ratings of the leadership plummeted very close to the ground level, and they still on power. And believe me, they don't want to leave this power. And for them, Ukraine is a good, you know, playbook how to achieve it.
Yeah. Absolutely. I couldn't agree with you more. And I mean, the absurdity of claiming that we are defending democracy in Ukraine when the man is not elected. Ukraine is run by Zelensky, who was supposed to leave office like 3 years ago at this point or whenever it was. I mean, the whole thing is absurd. And I hate to laugh, but it's exactly accurate. The adults in the playground. I mean, that really is how it feels. It feels like our leadership is a bunch of children that are incapable of recognizing the consequences of their actions just a few years down the road. And it's very dangerous, this game that they're playing. I completely agree with you. And it's a bit of an insult to tell us that we're a democracy when they do absolutely nothing to people that they want. I in many ways would rather they just come out and say, no, we're a tyranny. Then we'd actually know what we're dealing with. But it's this manipulation is,
correct.
Beyond frustrating. Well, thank you so much for being with us as always, Victor. But we got about a minute left. Final thing you want the American audience to know about the current developments in the worldwide conflict taking place?
Well, I think for us, for all the population of this planet, it's really time to come together and decide what we still can do to prevent the not only collapse of economy. We can deal with that. But the problem is, if the nuclear conflict as a world war will break out, it's end of the life in the planet the way we know it. It's end of the human civilization. Then I don't know how many millions years, you know, whoever survives can reach again same level of civilization. But eventually, we as a humans, either not ready, either do not feel responsibility, because the way we are right now, we maybe can be allowed only to have sticks to fight each other, definitely not nuclear weapons. And until we, liberate ourselves from this global cabal of the globalist and all kind of the Satanist sects, we are basically doomed for the extinctions. So
absolutely,
let's pray that it's a happening.
Amen. Thank you so much, Victor Boot. Follow him at Real Victor Boot on X.
My fellow patriots, the first thing the globalists and the leftists do when they want to silence you is go after your merchant accounts, go after your business payment systems. It's that simple. They try to cut off your ability to even receive money or make payments. If you are a conservative business owner, Google is watching you. Meta, Facebook is watching you. Amazon, all of the major big tech is watching you. If you think for one second that they are not orchestrating and coordinating their efforts behind the scenes to take you offline and out of business and render you harmless to the system and the machine, you are wrong. The question is not if, it's when Stripe, Shopify, PayPal, Square, they're all part of the same big tech machine. Because once there's only one central system, they can bring in the universal credit score. The head of BlackRock, Larry Fink, was very clear. Once they have the system in place and they're close, they are going to shut down everybody that isn't part of their system, even people that aren't political. This is about total control. They've just got to get to the patriots that are opposing them to get to you. And FirstUnitedPayments.com stands directly in the tyrant's way. My fellow Americans, this is your call to action. Call or email First United Payments now and ask them how you can protect your business against the globalist predatory attacks and shutdowns today. And talk to a real human here in the good old U.S. of A. by calling toll-free 877-899-1313. You've got to be able to have your own business. You've got to be able to operate without these globalist sharks, this mafia shutting you down. And First United Payments is the tip of the spear. Proven warriors, ladies and gentlemen, in this fight. Online merchants, this is the place for you. Now visit FirstUnitedPayments.com right now.
Days, weeks, and even years ahead of the news cycle. AlexJonesLive.com is tomorrow's news today.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. This is the Alex Jones Show, AlexJonesLive.com. I'm your host, Harrison Smith, sitting in for Alex for this final hour of his broadcast. Now, I'm going to stay in the chair for the first hour of War Room, and then Rex Jones is going to take over for the final 2 hours of War Room, starting at 4 p.m. Central today. But I'm with you for the next 2 hours, and we have a lot of videos and stories to cover. I want to start this hour with a video showing that the phenomenon, the attack of immigration destroying and hollowing out American industry, is in no way new. Here's a little mini documentary about how this exact practice destroyed the shrimping industry for Americans all the way back in 1975. Let's watch.
They made it impossible to do anything.
Who's harvesting all the shrimp now?
Well, all that's left is what little bit of bait houses are left is the Vietnamese. They found a foothold. They're the last survivors.
There was a big conflict with the Vietnamese.
That was big in 1975.
Can you talk to that?
The Catholic Church brought them over.
Can you talk to me the beginnings of that conflict and explain?
Well, the beginnings of it didn't affect us because we were down in a lagoon. It affected Rockport, 30 miles up the coast here, 25 miles up the coast. It affected them big time. That's where they relocated. They brought in them refugees, the Catholic Church, and bought them boats and set them up. Catholic Church. They call them NGOs now, I guess. And it really infuriated the locals. They said, hey, we had to work for everything. They're getting everything free. Well, one thing you got to hand the Vietnamese, and I knew quite a few of them back then. I don't know them. They're all dead now. They were industrious and never stopped. Well, here's the catch, Andrew, so you'll understand. You could actually buy three licenses per boat, bait, bay, and Gulf. So you could harvest year-round if that was your bag. You had a big enough boat, you go in the Gulf certain times of year, big enough boat, go in the bays certain time of year, and a certain time of year, go in the smaller lagoons. So that's how they function. But here was the key. The bait license was unlimited. Excuse me. It had a limit, but it was no time frame. 24/7. What did the Vietnamese do? They got out there in a shrimp boat. What we do, we go out and harvest it like 1 or 2 hours at night and go home. We'd have plenty. Quit. So we let them bays rest. Not them. They went out there and 24/7 that motor never shut off. They drag and drag and drag. And pretty soon we kept telling Parks Wildlife, hey, there's nothing left. They're killing everything. They wouldn't touch them. A lot of animosity, bad management, bad political decisions. And when they finally started cracking down a little bit, this is a true story. Rockport used to have grass beds, all kinds of ecosystems out there. There ain't one blade of grass in that summit when they got finished. They plowed that bastard with them shrimp nets, wiped it out.
Wow. At the peak of tension, I imagine there was probably some kind of fighting or death threat.
Oh, yeah. They a couple of them got killed. They put a grenade in one Vietnamese boat, blew it up. What else? They shot a white guy, killed his ass. I can't remember his name. A couple of Vietnamese got shot. Then Texas Rangers come in and said, stop that. It stopped. It flared up for about 8 or 10 months there.
Why were these Vietnamese coming over? Were they part of the Hmong people?
I don't know what exactly region, but it was just, I guess it was at evacuation in Hanoi in 1975. It was just a group. I think, I don't know if it was 50, 100, or 200 or 300. But they all located, a lot of them located Galveston to Rockport, but Rockport was kind of a stronghold. It's ironic today, the youngest ones are about my age, and they still got the ethic, they still work, they still got a few boats over, not many. But the young ones that were Americanized, worthless. They just drive around in sports cars and fancy clothes. They spend all that money. I can remember going over there and they'd have a shrimp boat and the whole family.
It's been a while, folks. It's been a while this has gone on. It's a funny comment at the end there that the Americanized teenagers were worthless. The second and third generation have been infected by the poison of liberalism. No longer want to work hard, no longer appreciate what America is. They don't have the memory of communism that maybe their forefathers did. Difficult situation. We'll be right back with a lot more, folks. Stay tuned.
Ladies and gentlemen, Bigley has launched an online pharmacy, 1776rx.health. It's one product we're launching with, my decision, and that is ivermectin with minbenzidol. Both powerful, really good anti-parasitics. It doesn't just get the big worms and all the crap that's out there. It's amoebas, it's microplasms. It is so important. These two together, I mean, ivermectin is a Nobel Prize winning for this, but minbenzidol is the big one. And folks, it isn't just parasites. Just search minbenzidol studies. Just put that into a search engine and you'll see congressional hearings. You'll see top scientists. You'll see all the studies on what else it does that they don't want you to know about. It's dramatic. So, and you won't know if you had any type of parasitical deal or whatever until you've done this. And a lot of people went there yesterday. A lot of people got it. Very smart move. 1776rx.health.
The program leftists failed to silence. It's the Alex Jones Show.
The show the leftists failed to silence. It wasn't just the leftists, right? The show that the entire combined effort of the New World Order failed to even slow down. The program who had and has at this moment entire government programs focused on destroying us, and yet we have not just survived but thrived thanks to your support at thealexjonesstore.com. It really is astonishing. It's worth reminding ourselves. We were supposed to go away in 2018. We were supposed to, when they kicked us off all the platforms, we were supposed to go away as a consequence of the lawsuits. We were supposed to go away 100 times over. I'm sure they were popping bottles of champagne when they kicked us off every platform at once on the same day, thinking there's no way they can survive that. They underestimate our power to their own detriment. Our power, of course, being the support of our audience and the brilliance of the Alex Jones store, thealexjonesstore.com. That's the reason we've been able to survive, because we did not rely on payment processors like Patreon who could kick us off and cut our income without a backup plan. We didn't rely on anything other than your commercial support. We are simply humble water filter merchants. We are simple supplement merchants. And at the end of the day, as fallen and broken as America is, it has to have some semblance of capitalism to survive. And the people at the top, our worst enemies, people using their positions of power to destroy the world and enslave humanity, they require capitalism to carry out their plan. So we've taken an aspect of their plan, a core aspect, a core component of their operation, and we've used it ourselves to grow and to prosper and to build this incredible weapon system in the information war. So we have to have, at the end of the day, America has to have capitalism. What does that mean? That means people who want to sell things can sell them to people who want to buy things, and there's not too much the government can do to stop it, unless it's dangerous or illegal, which obviously nothing we sell is. So there you go. What are they supposed, what can they do? You know, when it comes to being online, they can take ownership of the platform and then ban you. When it comes to relying on subscription platforms like Patreon, they can oust you for whatever reason at a whim, deny you not just the money that you would be receiving that people want to give to you, but, you know, cut off your communication with your supporters. Because we built our own system, we didn't have to rely on anybody. Because we had our own functional commerce system where we have great products, you need great products, and then we use the funds from that to build this great studio, this great media outlet, this great website, alexjoneslive.com, pay for the writers and the editors and the entire, you know, back end that is necessary to operate this truly unique and substantial media outlet on it. Just to put us in the same group as other quote unquote media outlets, it feels degrading, but no, we're something else. We're something a little bit above and beyond. And you don't have to believe us. You can ask all the people trying to destroy us because they seem to recognize how powerful and dangerous we are. It's why they put so much effort into destroying us, not knowing that we knew what they were going to do a long time ago and set up a system that was resilient and redundant and incapable of being destroyed from the outside. Really, if they want to destroy us, the only thing they could possibly do is try to discredit us somehow, because at the end of the day, we do operate entirely on our credit, on our reputation, on our audience knowing that when they support us, they're supporting an outlet that will doggedly pursue truth no matter where it leads, who will tell you the truth no matter how it makes us feel or how it makes us look. And, you know, maybe if I was a more, you know, proud or arrogant person, I would have clung on to, you know, MAGA and Trump and, you know, desperately trying to spin that in a positive way. But we're not going to do that, even if it would help us, even if it would give us political, you know, access to certain people. We just aren't going to do it, because if we lie to our audience, you think our audience is going to keep supporting us? You think our audience is going to keep going to the alexjonesstore.com if they start hearing us tell lies? Of course not. It's literally impossible for us to continue to operate and not tell the truth, because we set it up this way. It's how we want it. If you like us telling the truth, you'll go to the alexjonesstore.com. You'll support us. We'll stay on the air. If you don't, you won't, and we'll go away. It is literally as simple as that. And that is entirely my motivation, the pressure's on me. It's like, I'm not worried about what some sponsor is going to think I'm saying. And I'm telling you, folks, I say this not only, you know, to remind you of like the value and the importance of what we have here at the Alex Jones Network, but because it is genuinely the greatest blessing I've ever received. I talk to everybody on the right wing. I talk to the independent people and the people in big organizations. None of them have the same freedom that we do. I'm telling you, none of them. Because even the most, you know, disassociated, like they're just a solo person that's just doing their thing, they almost certainly have donors. Almost everybody else has these people they call donors, people who give you a bunch of money and then want something in return. What those big donors want in return is for you to maybe change your coverage a little bit, or maybe don't cover this thing that makes them look bad. We don't have to worry about that. And I'm serious when I talk to other people about it, and I have a hard time not being like, sucks for you, bro. Because I talk to other people like, oh, it's so, you know, I wish I could. I'm just like, you know, you should have done, you should have back in the 90s set up a supplement store so that you could sell products to customers and they could come back and buy them over and over. And then you don't have to worry about some billionaire pulling your strings. It's actually brilliant. Obviously, I take no credit for this. This was all Alex Jones's foresight in setting this up. I've gone on long enough. I think the people listening to my voice know this already, but it is not something to be taken lightly. It's not something that we take lightly. This freedom that you give us to tell the truth, we hopefully earn and, you know, return in kind by telling you the truth and not being bound by donors, but also not being bound by our own desires and our own, you know, vision of how we want things to go. We're just going to tell you how they are, and we trust that you're smart enough to untangle all of the knotted up bits in the meantime. In other words, it's very complicated. What's going on is simultaneously extremely simple and deeply complicated. We're going to try to untangle the knots and tell you what's actually going on and reveal to you that is as convoluted and nonsensical as it all seems. At the end of the day, if you know their actual motivations of the people in charge, if you're actually aware of what they're actually trying to achieve, none of it really seems all that strange or confusing or complicated at all. My sort of unofficial slogan, you might say, would just be, it's not that complicated, because at the end of the day, it is not that complicated. And to, you know, illustrate some of this, let's go to some videos that went viral over the weekend of debates at the Oxford Union. Now, the history of Oxford Union is very interesting. It is a little bastion of free speech, and it came about because there were certain topics or certain, I'm blanking on the exact details, but essentially the College of Oxford would not hold these types of debates. And so they created the Oxford Union, where you could go and have a real raucous and high level debate where you could express anything, where there's sort of no holds barred, very limited rules as to what you could say or how you could present it. And it's become this very unique sort of place where, these very high level people go and argue this stuff out, often with students there at Oxford. This argument, this debate, also has some interesting actions around it, some confusion around it. Apparently, it wasn't supposed to be released, but then clips of it got released, and then they released the whole thing in order to quell some of the rumors about it. Essentially, the question being asked and being responded to is, do we trust Islam? Is Islam to be trusted, or should we be suspicious of it? We, of course, in this case being the people of the UK, should the people of the UK be suspicious that perhaps, I don't know, their ancient liberties are being stolen from them slowly but surely in an incremental fashion by the massive and continuing influx of Sharia adherent Muslims? One video went totally viral out of this, and I'll show you that right now, but that's really not the video that stuck with me. This is not the clip that I would have said is the most valuable out of this debate. I'll show you that one just after this first one. But here's the one that went totally viral. Clip 18. This is one of the sort of pro-Muslim debaters accidentally slash, like, she basically threatens Tommy Robinson with death, except for the mercy of her fellow Muslims. It's kind of a crazy thing to admit. Let's watch.
Stephen Yaxley Lennon, known to his hooligans as Tommy Robinson. Stephen, there is a crowd outside rioting against you tonight, and without the protection and generosity of a Muslim Palestinian president and a mostly South Asian executive committee, you would be quite literally cooked.
Okay, that seems a bit inappropriate. So there's a mob rioting, bang for Tommy Robinson's blood. And her response to this is to say, you're lucky that there are some moderate Muslims here to restrain them, I guess. I guess that's the point she's making. A couple things about this. For one, it's obviously just a threat. It obviously, in no uncertain terms, proves everything that the Tommy Robinson side was saying. In other words, saying it's dangerous to let Muslims into our country because at a certain population level, they will achieve political power and they'll be able to impose themselves on the UK citizens with no limitation or restriction or ability for the natives to defend themselves. Basically, all this is saying is that we're almost at that point and we're getting there. The other thing that sort of stands out to me is this idea that she's like, you're only here because there's a Pakistani leader of the union and a whatever. And it's like, do you not see how that is also a problem? Like, yeah, okay, maybe they are quote unquote moderate Muslims that aren't actively feeding Tommy Robinson to the cannibalistic mob outside. Great, well done, but also why are people with Star Wars names in charge of every single office in the UK, it seems? Why is it that there is not a single white British person that is capable or ambitious enough or willing to serve in these positions? Why have they all been taken over by striving Middle Easterners and Asian people? And how could that possibly be a good thing? How could that be, you know, defended? And the point is that to oppose that needs no defense. In other words, for an English person to say, I don't want my government or my culture's highest offices occupied by foreigners, you don't need to justify that position in any way. And you as a, you know, whoever's listening to me, whoever you are, I guarantee you, if you're an American, if you're a genetic European, if you're a white person, you would not question if some foreign state, some Japanese person said, hey, we want Japanese people in our office. It'd be like, yep, of course you do. Why not? If some Saudi Arabian said, we actually only allow Saudi Arabians to occupy any position of power in our government, you'd be fine with that, wouldn't you? You'd say exactly right. Get those colonists out of here. Those white colonialists trying to, you know, gain power in your country, expel them. You'd be perfectly happy with it. It's the people of the UK's own internalized, a combination sort of arrogance and self-hatred. It's very weird. There's an arrogance of like, what's the problem with foreigners running our country? We're white. We're fine. This is no problem. There's still more of us than there are of them. It's just like arrogance that you don't have to care about the problem. While simultaneously, like, people actually genuinely think it's like a good thing to have some crazy Hindu guy with a big beard and a turban sitting in a UK judge's robe. They see nothing wrong with that. I do see something wrong with that, just like every other culture would see something wrong with that. It's only white people, and specifically the UK, people of the UK have been really hammered down on this. But like I said, that to me was a bit of a look behind the curtain, a bit of a flash of honesty from a population otherwise very comfortable in disguising their open aggression and hostility towards the UK. But I thought this clip was much, much more significant and more telling. It is a person on the side of the UK in this argument saying that we should be suspicious of Islam. Now watch as he prepares, you know, watch the reaction and the chaos and the panic. I mean, you can feel the panic rising as this man threatens to pull out a picture of the Prophet Muhammad in Oxford, UK. Okay. I mean, this gets a little tense. Let's watch.
52% compulsory halal. I could go on and on and on and on. But most important to me, and most important to me, is the free speech of this. So, let's get this out, shall we? 78% of British Muslims believe that no publication should publish pictures of Muhammad. An overwhelming majority. That rises to 87%. That's 9 out of every 10 Muslims that are walking the streets today in a country which absolutely abandoned blasphemy laws. Suspicion is not strong enough a word. The West should resist Islam in the strongest terms on free speech grounds alone. So here we are with this cartoon, right? And it's time.
So he's got an envelope and he's opening it.
Submit. I will not adhere to the religious laws of far-off places. Now, my wife asked me not to show this for fear of repercussions in my family, but I told her that if I did not, then I had already submitted to Islam. So here we are.
Is it not enough that half the team that invited you to this debate were Muslim women who wanted to hear out your expression and your arguments? Is it not enough that I, as a Muslim president, have invited you to this chamber to give your arguments? Is that not enough justification and evidence for you to believe that we do believe in free speech? I would not become the president of a free speech society if not for it.
Thank you, Al. All right. May I?
Thank
Thank you very much. May I finish? Excuse me.
Point of order having been raised, I'll hear the ex-librarian.
It's a long time since I've been in this chamber and knew the rules off by heart. But in the House of Commons, and we model ourselves on the House of Commons, props are not allowed. I wonder whether the rule on props is the same in the Oxford Union.
I thank the honourable gentleman for his point of order.
Excuse me, for 1 second.
One moment.
In the absence.
Mr. Foss, one moment, Mr. Foss. The ex-president is also raising a point of order, I think.
Just it's helpful to inform the ex-librarian and others, at least Michael is involved with society, that ban was not extended and didn't seem to apply to Israel and Palestine flag.
Thank you. So, right. I just want to wrap this up.
I am going to rule on the point of order. There is no bar in the forms of the House against the use of props. However, I would encourage Mr. Fox to make the point and move on.
I was until point of order. So it is in that spirit that I will not submit that I show you this as an Englishman who believes in free speech.
It is a caricature of Jacob Rees-Mogg. It is not a picture.
I will not bow down.
Of Muhammad.
Right. So, I think which rather proves the point I was trying to make, that in this envelope lived your fear and your fear of Islam and what Islam will do to you that when you upset its very oversensitive sky wizard. And what lived in this room is a healthy and brilliant and noble British tradition of suspicion of Islam. I encourage you to pass the motion. Thank you very much.
So again, brilliantly done. Of course, it was me. I might actually show a picture of Muhammad because F that. And again, you know, people don't understand this. Long story short, what a brilliant way to illustrate the true character of Islam. The idea that he was about to show a picture of Muhammad inspires this outrage and fear. And even as I was watching it for the first time, I'm like, ooh, dude, because in Britain, the Islamists are in charge in a lot of cases. And like, even not making an enemy out of them, you know, they'll target you and literally try to kill you. And you can ask Tommy Robinson or any of the other people, who've made this mission, their own over the last little while. But obviously you can't step down to this. So the man insinuates that he's about to show a picture of Muhammad, and you immediately have the president of the union jump up. And is it not enough that we invited you here to show that we approve of free speech? And again, the way that she presents this is as if we invited you here because we do believe in free speech. We want to hear your side. We want to have an open discussion. But if you dare to overstep our cultural bounds, then you're insulting us. And basically you're repaying our kindness and our generosity with this vicious hatred by disobeying our laws. Again, this doesn't really make sense to a Christian who's like, no, we have our laws. Why would we expect other people to obey them? It's not a mindset that we, you know, understand very well. To the Muslims, it's very well understood. It's understood as like the ultimate insult to Islam not to adhere to their prohibition against creating images of Muhammad. And I remember having this conversation back in like high school when there was a Muhammad cartoon drawing contest, and it was threatened to be bombed or shot up. And I remember saying at the time, like, well, now you have to draw the comic. Now you have to draw the picture. My friend being like, but why? But that's so insulting them. And it's like, no. I didn't even want to draw it. But the minute that you say, I'm going to kill you if you do this thing, if you insult me, I kind of have to do it now because I kind of have to prove, even if I didn't want to do it before, now my not doing it will look like I've given in to you. And we can't let that precedent stand. So again, brilliant, you know, the way that he phrased it, that in this envelope was your fear of Islam. There was no picture of Muhammad. There was a cartoon of Jacob Rees-Mogg. But the idea that it might have been a picture of Muhammad had at least three different people standing up and trying to stop it from going forward out of fear. Remember, out of fear, not out of respect for Islam. You know, these people are not like, oh, well, I would feel bad if we, you know, insulted them. What they're thinking is if you show that, they might bomb the building and I don't want to die. So give in to the bullies, so give in to the threats and give in to the blackmail. Pathetic, utterly pathetic. And we've seen that the UK has given in to the blackmail, but so has America to a large degree. And it's time that we stood up against this with everything that we've got in every way that we can. And to expand it out a little bit wider, we'll get into some other stuff in the next segment. But I was just thinking about this because thinking about the relationship of immigration to the police, and we'll show you, we're going to show you videos of this Hong woman who's running for governor of Wisconsin. And she, of course, is big, you know, anti-police, defund the police type of people. And I was thinking back to our early coverage of the defund the police movement when I would say every time it was brought up, defund the police only means privatize the police or nationalize the police. And it seems like that's the direction that we're going. But I'd forgotten a key component of that, which is that quote unquote minority populations, aka the global majority when they're in white countries and are considered minorities, are given carve outs for their own security. So I realized as I was playing this out in my head, moving forward, there's going to be a continued diminution and destruction of classic traditional community policing. You're going to have rich people pay for private policing. You're going to have minority populations being given millions of dollars in grants from the government so that they can create their own police forces like the Shamrim or the, you know, Sharia law volunteers you see running around the UK. It's only going to be the regular middle class people that are going to be denied protection. Everybody else is going to be armed and defended. It's another, you know, path forward that we can recognize and divert if we so choose. We'll be right back.
Fellow patriots, the first thing the globalists and the leftists do when they want to silence you is go after your merchant accounts, go after your business payment systems. It's that simple. They try to cut off your ability to even receive money or make payments. It's globalist siege. It's globalist economic warfare. It's a globalist blockade, an embargo, sanctions against American populist patriots. For everyone that's been watching and listening to me for years, you've seen the attacks. You've seen the deplatforming. You've seen the court battles, the news articles, the demonization, the bogus default judgments. We even have FBI and CIA operatives on hidden camera talking about how their entire goal was to take me out at the knees by knocking out my ability to accept payments. And that model they used on me, they admit, is for all of you.
Alex Jones.
Yeah, so we were after him.
So with Alex Jones. And the goal with him was what, just to bankrupt him?
Pretty much.
Well, because of First United Payments and your support, they failed. And they failed because I had a processor with a backbone who loves America and believes in the free market. One who stands up for American justice and who didn't back down when they received threatening messages and pressure from other major institutions. If you are a conservative business owner, Google is watching you. Meta, Facebook is watching you. Amazon, all of the major big tech is watching you. If you think for one second that they are not orchestrating and coordinating their efforts behind the scenes to take you offline and out of business and render you harmless to the system and the machine, you are wrong. The question is not if, it's when Stripe, Shopify, PayPal, Square, they're all part of the same big tech machine. Consolidation, vertical integration, that is the goal of the BlackRock globalist system. Because once there's only one central system, they can bring in the universal credit score. This is the key to their entire panopticonic takeover plan in their own words. The head of BlackRock, Larry Fink, was very clear. Once they have the system in place and they're close, they are going to shut down everybody that isn't part of their system, even people that aren't political. This is about total control. They've just got to get to the patriots that are opposing them to get to you. And FirstUnitedPayments.com stands directly in the tyrant's way. My fellow Americans, this is your call to action. Call or email First United Payments now and ask them how you can protect your business against the globalist predatory attacks and shutdowns today. Visit First United Payments now at FirstUnitedPayments.com. And talk to a real human here in the good old U.S. of A by calling toll-free 877-899-1313. That's 877-899-1313. The tyrants are counting on us not to innovate. They're counting on us not to migrate to institutions and organizations that are pro-human just like us. This isn't some new company. I've been using them for almost a decade. They're already taking care of most of the patriots. Whether you're a florist, have a gas station, or you're a farmer, or you've got a little five and dime shop or a factory, whatever it is, online merchants, this is the place for you. These guys are patriots, and they're in our corner. They're Americans just like us, and they hate the New World Order with a passion. They believe in the free market, and they understand this is 1776 2.0. 90% of it is information warfare and financial, and this is just as important as the right to self-defense and guns. You've got to be able to have your own business. You've got to be able to operate without these globalist sharks, this mafia shutting you down. And First United Payments is the tip of the spear. Proven warriors, ladies and gentlemen, in this fight. Thank you so much. Now visit FirstUnitedPayments.com right now.
Days, weeks, and even years ahead of the news cycle. AlexJonesLive.com is tomorrow's news today.
Patriots' choice and globalists' dread. Welcome to the Alex Jones Show.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. This is the Alex Jones Show. I'm your host, Harrison Smith, sitting in for Alex today. I'll be with you for the next hour and a half until Rex Jones takes over for the final 2 hours of the War Room. Later today, we have a lot still to talk about in terms of the Iran War, the World War III, Ukraine. Some very interesting articles from some of the classic villains of the 21st century, like Robert Kagan, who apparently no longer considers himself a neocon. Has given a very interesting interview about that. Again, we'll get into all of that, but I guess let's talk about the socialists, because as we've pointed out, they are on the come up. They are really making gains in the American electorate, in no small part because of the outrages perpetrated by Israel and the Republican Party's adherence and slavish devotion to that genocidal state, but in no less measure is the economic disaster that we're currently living through, also in part, no small part, a consequence of the Iran war on behalf of Israel. But essentially, you've got a 1-2 punch where the crony capitalist, totally controlled and manipulated stock market is put up against the socialists, who tell you we're going to kill the billionaires and give all their stuff to you. And the Republicans are incapable or unwilling to even address the affordability concerns. So it's no surprise that people are going over to the socialists, since they at least seem to offer some break from business as usual. The business as usual, which everybody can see, is not serving anybody necessarily. Mamdani, of course, was sort of a major breakthrough in this, but mostly this got started with AOC. The good news, well, I don't know, it's kind of tricky, because with AOC, I always thought the interesting thing about the way she got elected was, first of all, that she tried out like an actress for a position that she didn't understand and wasn't capable of holding, but would play the role well enough. But the really interesting thing was that nobody had heard of AOC until she won. If you guys remember, the first, it went viral, it was like a video of her winning, and it was like, this waitress just won her, you know, primary, look at her, and she's just like, ah, oh my God, I won. And it's like, that was the first time any of us had heard about her. Because the right wing has a tendency to want to take people with big names and big followings, and then they're gonna go and run for office and, you know, dominate from the beginning. When the reality is, the strategy of the DSA, working behind the scenes, quietly identifying, you know, incumbents that could be easily unseated, especially if you identify as they did, you know, it was all about racial demographic. It was like, okay, here's this seat that's a congressional seat that's mostly Hispanic and black people, but its representative is white. So here's our opportunity to come in and oust the old white guy, even though he's a, you know, bog standard Democrat, oust the white guy, replace him with a young Latina, knowing that, you know, basically she could win the ethnic vote because of the way that ethnicities vote in blocks, minority ethnicities vote in blocks in America. So very sophisticated and quiet campaign that most people had no idea was happening until she won. And I think there's something too. It's worth noting that that was the strategy they pursued and continue to pursue. So what they're doing now is simultaneously running very extreme people who have very extreme open positions that are extreme in places where they think they can win, where they think that is not a liability. Then they're pushing the envelope more towards the left, more towards socialism, more towards communism, and coming out openly with it. Simultaneously, they're running leftist, communist, crypto-communist, socialist infiltrators, but under the guise of we're just normal people that want affordability and don't want to see the Israeli war continue. And they'll run as if they're just, you know, Joe from down the block, but once they're in office, they'll govern like Mao. We're seeing this with people like Abigail Spanberger in Virginia, which, of course, fighting back against this is made even more difficult by the fact that the mainstream media will avoid negative stories about these people. So in the case of Abigail Spanberger, people might not like, you know, people who voted for her thinking she's a total moderate, thinking that she's a, you know, reasonable centrist with maybe a little bit of a liberal tint, but, you know, nothing too crazy. Do they have any idea what she's been doing? I mean, there's not a lot of, like, big stories about, oh my God, Abigail Spanberger passed a law to allow rapists back on the street. It doesn't dominate the headlines because the mainstream media doesn't report on it. So the people that are low information that voted for her in the first place have no idea even what she's actually doing behind the scenes. So you've got this combined attack where they all know exactly what they're doing. They know, for the most part, if they were to run on it, vote for me, I'll let rapists out of prison and flood your children's elementary school with hostile foreigners that don't speak their language, they would never get elected. So they run on affordability. They run on very plain, you know, easily understood and agreed to talking points, knowing the whole time that they actually intend to do a whole bunch of stuff that nobody would vote for. So they have to conceal it. The media knows that's what they're doing. They're all just in this, like, they think they're clever. You know, if American people continue to be as utterly uninformed, misinformed, and frankly stupid as we are, then they're right. I mean, they are being clever. It really is as simple as just being like, no, I'm just like a reasonable centrist. Don't worry about it. And you've got, you know, a whole array of people like us and everybody else going, actually, look at what she's really going to do. Look at what she really believes. Here's all these, you know, here's all the truth about it. And unless you're watching the Alex Jones Network or in some cases like Fox News, like, you're not going to know this. You have no idea this is going on. So until the American people wake up to the reality of the very open, like, deliberate and explicit deception that they're being faced with, like, they're going to keep falling for it. And again, we've been over this over and over, but I've mostly covered on War Room. So for Alex Jones Show viewers and listeners that maybe aren't aware of this, there was a time a couple years ago when there's a very contentious city council race here in Austin. One of the candidates, Jimmy Flanagan, was pretty left, pretty liberal, but not a crazy socialist. But his chief of staff was getting a bunch of hate online on Facebook. People were going, why are you supporting this Jimmy Flanagan guy? He's a corporate Democrat, and we hate corporate Democrats. We're socialists. We're communists. Why aren't you promoting our positions? And this guy, Jimmy Flanagan's like right-hand man, second in command, on his own name, in public, on the internet, is like, guys, if we said what we are going to do, nobody would vote for us. So just be patient. Trust me. Flanagan is a socialist like us. I'm a communist. We're all communists here, but the people of Austin wouldn't vote for a communist. So we're going to say what we need to get elected. But don't worry. We are actually communists. We are actually going to implement all this stuff. So to a normal, like, thinking person, that is anathema to democracy. That is a violation of the core idea of democracy, which is that you truthfully say what you're going to do, and if people like it, they vote for it. These people, and this was years ago that this happened, they've inculcated this. They've accepted this mindset as standard, as we are going to do things that nobody wants us to do. We have positions that are not popular in America and will not get elected, so we have to conceal our intentions in order to get elected. And they think this is a clever way to play the game. In reality, it is undercutting the entire purpose of an electoral system wholesale. All of that to the side, because the people that they're running are horrible children, like James Tallarico never having a bank account. He shares a bank account with his mother to this day. The mayor of Seattle, who 4 months into her administration has lost the confidence of the city council and is basically facing a wholesale insurrection from her entire government because of her abject failure to do anything right. Well, she lived with her mother in her parents' basement until she was elected. Mom Donnie was a SoundCloud rapper, never achieved anything in his life. AOC was a bartender. It's similar with all these people, right? They have no accomplishments. They have no record of success. They have no record of anything, really. They spent a few years as like a volunteer at an NGO, and now they're fit to lead the state and make decisions that affect the lives of tens of millions of people. Are you insane? Why would you hand power over to these people? I would reject it. Even if they were smart and correct in their positions, which they absolutely are not. But even then, you'd go, hey, yeah, you're a smart dude. You seem to have your head on your shoulders, but go live a little. Go have a kid. Go become a parent or get married. Have some responsibility to a single human being outside yourself, which you don't even have because you're sponsored and supported by your parents or the taxpayers. So, like, these people, it's not only that they've only ever made decisions that affect themselves. They can't even support themselves as an individual. They rely on other people, and suddenly they're being elected to these positions of power. It's because they're useful idiot puppets for the people that are actually pulling their strings. They just are happy to be the face of this stuff. So I'm going to go to a bunch of videos of this Hong woman, Francesca Hong. According to the Capital Times, her nomination might not be a foregone conclusion. They say it's been 4 months, but it feels like a lifetime. An appeals court judge and former left of center Democrat state legislator won a blowout victory in the Wisconsin Supreme Court, providing a 5-2 liberal majority and assuring legislative map integrity against Republican gerrymandering. That followed January's news when President Donald Trump endorsed U.S. Rep. Tom Tiffany to make him the de facto nominee for governor in the race to replace retiring Democrat Tony Evers. Tiffany appeared then, as now, to be just the sort of election-denying Trump toady whom Democrats could bank on defeating. But then they decided to try to run a Democrat socialist psychopath, totally insane witch, and now it's not looking so certain. So this, in a lot of ways, is the ultimate contest to determine whether or not America is gone forever, right? So they're running an avowed idiot, right? They're running, and I'll show you the clips. She hates America. She hates her own children. She hates her own husband. She's genuinely an insane person. She spent time in a mental institute as well. She had tens of thousands of dollars in debt that her family had to pay off for her. A total reprobate, degenerate, scumbag idiot. If she wins, you know, it might be over for America. If Donald Trump is right, maybe, just maybe, the average American person isn't so suicidally retarded that they'll vote for this these people, and it'll actually benefit the Republicans. Because in Trump's idea, he thinks, well, socialists are so crazy that this is a good thing for Republicans because all the normal Americans who recognize how bad communism and socialism is, they'll have no choice but to come over to the Republicans. I'm not that confident, and I think the fact that Francesca Hong is even a name that I know is evidence of that. The fact that she has made it this far in the contest anyway is evidence that you should not be confident of Americans' abilities to sniff out and oppose vile subversives. So I'm not that confident. However, this is the ultimate test because this lady is so repulsive and so dislikable, unlikable, and poisonous, toxic, weird. If she wins her election, I think it's time to invoke the Communist Control Act. I mean, I think it's well past time to do that anyway. And as I often say, the one thing needed to save this country is ruthless application of existing law. And that would be one of the primary existing laws that should be ruthlessly applied to all of these foreign communists that are currently insinuating and slithering their way into positions of power. Let's go first clip 74, since we were talking about this in the last segment. This is Francesca Hong on why we should defund the police. Let's watch.
Abolishing policing is one segment of reforming and reevaluating our criminal justice system. Using the funds after we've eliminated the access to eliminating funds for the police needs to be put into rehabilitation services, mental health services for those in prison, making sure that we are looking at decreasing our prison populations.
This woman just talked about abolishing the police and eliminating funds for the police department. And here, I'm going to read you the definition of abolish. To abolish means to officially end or completely do away with a law, system, practice, or institution. She's talking about abolishing police, completely eliminating funding as well. This is the candidate for governor in the state of Wisconsin. I should say a candidate for governor in the state of Wisconsin. She is the leading Democratic candidate. These are the type of individuals that Democrats think it's okay to put in charge of a state. Oh, I didn't tell you, by the way, she's been diagnosed with bipolar disorder. On top of that, she was just sued, and this is interesting. She was sued for unpaid credit card debt. And she was sued this year, May 26 of 2026. The amount was $29,000, $29,300. She was sued for an unpaid credit card debt. And her family bailed her out. They paid the debt. Just like a socialist. Go run up an expense and then have somebody else pay it. She does it in her personal life. She is a self-proclaimed democratic socialist again. And she's talking about abolishing police. It's up to us to ensure that these people do not gain traction. And if you're in Wisconsin, get prepared to vote. Check if you're registered to vote. And if you're not registered, register. I basically developed a personal voting tool called Precinct. This here's the homepage of the website. You can click that not registered to vote to register. And what it'll do, it'll route you to your state's registration page. Here's what it'll look like, for example.
All right, so he just pushes his, which could be a very good tool. But, you know, what he said about Hong is exactly right. I mean, she wants to abolish police, which, again, you know, this idea is insane. And everybody literally should recognize this. The police are not going anywhere. The police are not the bad guys. The police can be trained better, okay? You want to say that, but the police are never going to go away because people are always going to need protection. So all she's doing is making it to where the richest will have protection because they'll be able to pay for private security, and basically minority interest groups will be able to defend themselves because they'll create, you know, community policing groups that are armed and funded by the state, like Shamrim in the Jewish community, or the, you know, Muslims wearing the high visibility vests that we see go around harassing women in the UK. So, you know, police will still exist. They just won't. And this is the thing when it comes to Flock or any of this stuff. If you don't get rid of the judges that let these people out, none of it matters. The police can arrest the people over and over. If they just get let back on the street, then what is the point? The Flock cameras may get high definition footage of the attack, but if the attack isn't punished, what is the point? None of these quote-unquote solutions are necessary if you just were to do the normal, obvious thing of punishing criminals, which we've seen in no uncertain terms, places all over the country, like Lincoln, Nebraska, who with a very modest increase to their police budget, increase to the number of cops they employed, and a focus on fighting petty crime and not letting that stuff fall to the wayside, they decrease the murder rate in their city significantly. There are solutions that do not require the wholesale disarming of your populace, but they're not interested in anything having to do with safety. They're interested in disarming and destroying the American people. Let's go now to clip number 34. This is the one that went totally viral over the weekend and over the last couple of days. This is gubernatorial candidate for Wisconsin, Francesca Hong, talking about why she hates Thanksgiving. Let's watch.
You know, you've talked about your past positions that he keeps highlighting and, you know, obviously likely would continue to do so before November should you win. One thing that they brought up as well was a post from you in 2021 where you said Americans should cancel Thanksgiving, should have done this in 1621. The post has been deleted. Republicans have been highlighting it. Do you still believe that Thanksgiving should be canceled?
I'm a chef. And one of the first meals that I made that was for the community when I was 16 was a Thanksgiving meal. You know, I always think my hospitality background in owning a restaurant for 7-8 years, that bringing folks around the table to share conversation and build community is always a good thing. But Thanksgiving is also a time that's incredibly painful for many people in our communities. And so I think there I wanted to make sure that people understood that there are multiple views, but views can evolve. And the position that I'm running for right now, and I think my background as a chef, will actually help me become a better governor that's able to bring more people to the table.
Francesca Hong, thank you for joining us. We hope to have you back on, depending on how things go next week in your primary.
So the answer is yes, she thinks Thanksgiving should be canceled because it makes people in their community uncomfortable. What'd you say? It causes pain to people in their community. Again, it really sucks, this whole democracy thing really sucks, because I guarantee you most people watching this thought that was a great answer. You know, well, you know, I'm a chef, and one of the first things I ever cooked was a Thanksgiving meal, so it, you know, it really means a lot to me. And it's just like, under this sickly sweet talking points is the seething hatred of the country she lives in. What is wrong with Thanksgiving? Like, even Columbus Day, you could make the argument based on faulty information, because Columbus was a hero that never enslaved or did anything bad to anybody, but you could at least, you know, frame it as if it was celebrating an attack on the Native American, whatever. Thanksgiving is literally about the natives and the pilgrims coming together, sharing food, and creating something wonderful and giving thanks to God for delivering us to this bountiful country. Why do you hate that? It's a rhetorical question, because she hates America. She hates Western Christian civilization, because she's insane. She's an insane, seething, vile foreigner. Being foreign doesn't make her seething or vile. Those are qualifiers to the word foreigner, but it's also the reason, but it's also where she's coming from. As an American, you don't have to accept or appreciate that. That's just an insult to you and your heritage and your history. She just hates you, and she's framing it in a way as if it's some sort of defense. It's not. It's an attack. She's attacking you. She's attacking your tradition. She's attacking the founding of your country, your ancestors, your heritage, your religion, your belief system, your country that became and continues to be the greatest that's ever existed on the face of the earth. She wants it for herself, for her own ends. She has no ability to build something like this, only the ability, like a cancer cell, to create a poisonous, toxic tumor inside the body of a actually well-functioning system. Let's go to clip 28 here to highlight this. Here she is. Oh, because by the way, because all these people, insane hypocrites, AOC, all of these non-white women socialists who genuinely, in their bones, and they're like gleeful that they get to talk about how much they hate white guys. They're all married to white guys. Not that I can blame them. Let's go to clip 28 here.
I wasn't always aware of the struggles of other communities of color, because for me, assimilation always kind of took over. And so I did marry my proximity to whiteness continues, right? My son is biracial. He's half white and half Korean. And, I think navigating, you know, what his identity is and how people perceive him is always at the back of my mind as well.
Okay. So again, you see that, like, this is not, she didn't even naturally come to these conclusions. She's like, I never realized the struggle of people of color, because assimilation always took over for me. It's like, let's unpack that for a minute. So what you're saying is, as a fresh off the boat Korean woman, she doesn't say her son is a quarter Korean, so she's full blood Korean. So as a full blooded foreign Asian woman, you somehow assimilated perfectly. It was never a concern to you. You were never aware of racial strife in America, because it doesn't exist and it never affected you. You, the person who it would affect, somebody who is clearly foreign, who is clearly not American, who's clearly not white, who is clearly of a different culture, you never even noticed that there was racism. You assimilated perfectly, were treated with perfect respect by everybody around you. It was only once you were indoctrinated, it was only once you were, you know, told and convinced that this was such a bad thing, that you started to imagine you saw it in your own life. And now you're projecting that onto your poor son and husband, who you apparently have racial hatred towards. Great. You should be governor, probably. This failed chef should be governor of an entire state because of how caring and stalwart she is. Again, it's like her own life, her own experience, her own timeline told her there is no racism in America. She had to be convinced of this, and now it's her driving motive. These people are NPCs to the nth degree. Let's go to clip 48 here, where once again, one of her former social media posts is coming back to bite her in the ass because she wanted to, you know, kill the president. Let's watch.
In the restaurant industry, when we're out of something, we say it's 86th. He represents the utter failure of our government to keep us safe from threats, both viral and systemic.
I think she should go back to Vietnam. I think she should be sent back to Vietnam. Oh, but Harrison, she's from Korea. Do I look like I care? I don't care. She should be gone. She shouldn't be in this country. She doesn't belong here. We should oust her. We should kick her out. And if she feels the way that she keeps saying she feels, this will be a gift to her. You no longer have to be plagued by whiteness. You no longer have to be menaced by success. Go away.
Dirty, dark, dastardly villain is after the methylene blue formula.
Feast your eyes on the magical methylene blue. Don't wait. Get yours today while supplies last.
Who the hell is that? I just got a call from Rob. He said he saw some goblin riding a crocodile lurking around our studio. You, Alex. My crocodile monsters and I are onto you now. There is nowhere left to run. Best damn day of my life.
Yeah, ain't it?
Reality starts here. AlexJonesLive.com. Share the link. Spread the word. Days, weeks, and even years ahead of the news cycle. AlexJonesLive.com is tomorrow's news today.